Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my God. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have. And you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. Wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. I praise the Lord because he guides me. And in the night my conscience warns me. Aware of the Lord's presence. He is near. And nothing can shake me. Also, I am thankful and glad. I feel completely secure. Because you protect me from the power of death. Because you protect me from the power of death. Because you protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully. And you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. Lord, you are my God. All good things I have come from you.
All right. You really got up at this hour? Really? I think the Lord loves that.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning, panel. There's Trish.
Hey. Good morning.
Everybody. I gotta crank them up.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, let's crank them up.
Good morning.
Hey, how
about now they're cranked up.
Wow.
That's all you can say?
Good morning, I can say that.
We've never been speechless.
Well, we kind of woke up a little later than normal.
Yeah.
Rushing to
But that's a good thing.
Is it?
Well, yeah. While they're threatening to, like, you know, burn the whole place down from one end to the other. And all these, you know, it was funny, I was researching the birth of black metal, and it's very interesting.
Oh, that was a little scary when you were telling me about that.
Yeah, well, why would I? Okay, that's called Norwegian metal from Norway, and you may not know this, you guys. But the metal guys know this. that the black metal movement of Norway began on the burning of some 50 churches by the metal rockers. Then they sort of...
Sounds like Antifa.
It's very similar in dress and style. As like the Antifa thing, only this was a music movement. And the music is, you know, really amazing. I was just thinking they had some help from, you know, some spiritual help on that music. Hard for me to believe that some of that music these guys came up with.
Could it be Satan?
some extra kind of thing, yeah. But it's funny, I was reading an article in Rolling Stone and about it, and they were saying, well, we wouldn't have all this music. Now, for those of you who missed this whole thing, this was something that started around 1990, 1991. There are also murders involved, and a couple people went to jail for murder. A couple people went to jail for the arsonist of the churches. Some of these were very historic, went back a thousand years or something. And only a couple, very few people actually got in trouble or went to jail. Does that sound familiar? And they want to burn down churches. The other thing is, you know, they're stating that, well, the main kind of government we want is totalitarianism or communism because we want people to suffer under our rule. We want to see them suffer and have nothing.
Sounds familiar.
And then they say, we want to make the music so dark that if you listen, that if you're not with this movement, you just can't stand it.
That's me. Because Zeph has been using it as a backdrop.
For
writing this script, Dragon Island, and
right, well, it's a very dark theme.
I have to shut the door so I don't hear it.
Yeah, because you're dealing with the dragon, the devil, you know, and the advanced technology and all that stuff. And this music just really lent itself to that sort of pursuit in writing. I'm not saying I'm going to do it again. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Govinda, are you there? Oh, well, there he is.
I'm here.
Good.
Okay.
All things considered, doing well. You know, I mean, it's been an incredible time, a full time. I don't know. Between these months, the world is so month to month. It's not even the same place between each month.
I know.
So there's been a lot going on. I feel like we're just continuing to shift dramatically in each one of these, and so I'm glad for one thing that we have these on the 20th, because it's a bit of a marker along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we're still, I mean, it's otherwise these things would be, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, it's wild.
Time window as well, but doing well. We continue to move forward.
It's not coming in very well.
Is the sound not good?
It's kind of dropping in and out a little bit, but we're hearing you pretty good, but just kind of dropped out and came back a few times. But yeah, the marker of 20 on 20, from month to month, it's just, we're realizing so many dark patterns that are going on, and at the same time we're seeing a increase in the light.
Yeah, the greatest revival in the history of all mankind has begun.
I hope so.
The greatest awareness, I should say,
amen.
Not revival,
amen.
But the greatest awareness of, you know, awareness, okay? That, and if you're aware, then you know that God exists.
That's
expand awareness.
The greatest...
Okay,
I cannot hear you.
Govinda?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Whether people like it or not, it's everything is kind of being brought out.
Yeah.
I can try to check one thing on my set. Give me a minute. Try one
okay.
thing.
Okay.
Well, when I say the greatest awareness expansion of all time, the other side that would be ignorance, okay, and darkness and stupidity, they will do everything they can to try to, you know, stop, you know, like they all they know is bludgeon, hammer, bark, hammer, you know, just try to stop it. But people are going into like a super conscious awareness of what is real. And the enemy, the worlders, the globalists, the prison guards of this planet that we're in, this simulated prison experience, will do everything they can to stop that awareness from happening. Because, you see, they want to implant, they want to destroy humanity by introducing a digital chipping, a nano chip. It's a it goes in with a hydrogel developed by DARPA and the military. Now, that introduces the microneedles that then implants the vaccine and digital ID. Now, that technology has been ready to go with COVID and planned for a long time. So this would be, if this is that mark of the beast that is spoken of in Revelation, then it's been, they've been careful to roll it out at this time. And then you can say, are they accurate? This is the last time. This isn't. I'm not going to buy into anything. I'm just saying they will make it illegal for you to travel, to bank, to buy food, to exist, unless you take this tattoo. And if you do take it, it will, the one that I'm thinking of, the Digital ID 2020, that comes from Microsoft and from DARPA and military, then it will change your DNA via the nanotechnology, because it introduces a synthetic mRNA vaccine that uses nanotechnology to digitize your genome, which would then, make you susceptible to changes with frequencies, different frequencies they could beam at you, or they could read out your information with a smartphone to see that you've had the vaccine, that you're up to date, and also, use the consciousness of human, which is what they really want, to siphon it off, to usurp it as they always do, so for use, in expanding their digital cloned universe, which is called the post-human world that they've been working on for 100 years. And that is what's been warned of in the book of Revelation.
Hiding in plain sight, right, for nearly a decade.
That's the beast, okay? And that's what's been enslaving you. You go, a lot of people have noticed that the president doesn't have any, the power we thought, like the most powerful man in the world, the president of the United States. No, sorry, these guys run the world. And they have always run the world from the beginning. And so you have to understand, now they're coming out so you can see them, right? You see that.
This whole contract facing thing.
If you have friends in Spain, as we have friends in Spain and Greece and Italy and different places around the world in South America, they're all locked down like we are. So this is these guys run the world, and there are no sovereign countries.
It came to a Canadian scientist named Derek Rossi in 2010, purely by accident. The now-retired Harvard professor claimed in an interview with the National Post that he found a way to reprogram the molecules that carry the genetic instructions for cell development in the human body, mm-hmm. not to mention all biological life forms.
Well, they like to eliminate that, but
the mRNA, the messenger ribonucleic acid.
Right, and then it's also, they put in a thing called, and you can't make this up, folks, Luciferase or Luciferase.
Yeah, that's the sparkly stuff.
And that's the bioluminescent thing that helps them to read out your information. And it actually glows in the dark.
As early as 2006, DARPA was already researching how to identify viral upper respiratory pathogens through its Predicting Health and Disease, right, PhD DARPA program, mm-hmm. which led to the creation of the agency's Biological Technologies Office, BTO,
right,
as reported by Whitney Webb in a May article for The Last American Vagabond in 2014.
And also MIT has been involved as well, also paid for by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that have the patent on a lot of this stuff. So,
The hydrogel,
here comes.
Is a nanotechnology whose inventor early on boasted that if it pans out with approval from the FDA, then consumers could get the sensors implanted in their core to measure their levels of glucose, oxygen, and lactate.
Right, and this would be something you can get from Amazon.com that would prove that you've had the. You don't have to line up somewhere, to get your vaccine. You can get it through the mail.
Once firmly implanted inside the body, human cells are at the mercy of any mRNA program delivered via this substrate, unleashing a nightmare of possibilities.
Right, so they can reprogram your DNA and reprogram you, so they could use you as a slave, again, usurping your consciousness, which is called power. They use that to then power their own cloned universe called it's a nano-digital universe of a post-human world where they get to live forever as kind of interfacing between consciousness and
HR6666.
Right, HR6666, you can't make it up.
In July, a preliminary report...
That's in Congress, folks, HR.
...funded by Fauci's NIAID and the NIH on an mRNA vaccine against SARS-CoV-2 was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, concluding that mRNA 1273 vaccine provided by Moderna for the study induced anti-SARS-CoV-2 immune responses in all participants, and no trial-limiting safety concerns were identified.
So anyway, that's how they're going to do it. This is the most evil thing that exists in the world or ever has existed. The people involved are the biggest criminals, have broken the most laws and done the most damage to humanity, and they walk free today and they boss around the president and the prime ministers and the kings and the queens. They run the show. You're at the mercy of the worst, most evil thing that has ever existed in the history of all life, and the people that are administering it are right in your face on TV telling you to submit, and they are above the law, and they boast about being above the law, and they're going to do to you whatever the hell they feel like, and you either submit or die.
The only obstacle is a delivery system which, though Moderna claims to be developing separately, is unlikely to get FDA approval before the federal government's own DARPA-developed hydrogel technology in tandem Profusa's DARPA-funded light sensor technology,
hydrogel,
which is expected to receive fast-track authorization from the Food and Drug Administration by early 2021 and more than likely used to deploy a
hydrogel
coronavirus vaccine with the capacity to literally change our DNA.
That is literally the truth. Where'd you get that?
It's an article on InfoWars from Zero Hedge.
Okay, well, Zero Hedge, okay.
Sound better.
Yeah, Zero Hedge.
Zero Hedge.
Is this coming in a little bit better?
Yeah,
sounds good, Govinda. Go ahead.
So that's what we face. I hope you're enjoying yourselves.
Remember what happened with Monsanto sharing crops. And there's owners for these genetic patents.
Yep.
So when something gets genetically, now who has control? Who has ownership of that? So that's another thing that's there. Because once within Monsanto, originally around the world, once those seeds started getting into organic or domestic crops, they started claiming patents. Even if something accidentally drifted into somebody else's field, they started claiming patent right infringements and start stealing people's property because of their modified seeds that they own the patents on that got into other people's crops.
Right.
So if these things have patents and owners, then also that question of what then now becomes to the human genome that is now modified and who owns that inside of your own.
Well, so we have no law enforcement, though. You realize that. There is no law enforcement. It's either we take care of it or we get killed.
Well, it's kind of overwhelming because it's been in our face for so long without any ability to really stop it, you know?
But the humanity, though, needs to understand what it is because they have to make a... If it is the mark of the beast... They have to make a free will choice, either yay or nay. So they can't hide it. They have to tell you what it's going to do. But then most people don't have any kind of biblical education or any kind of Bible knowledge. So they're going to have to, you know, make their best guess, I guess. But they're going to have to reveal exactly what it'll do to you. And, you know, you're going to have to be, again, at the mercy of their programming, which will make every single human being on Earth a programmed clone. of their former selves. In other words, a transhuman, human 2.0. And Gates is behind it all. And you let Gates run around like a little fairy, you know, and he just flits around and, you know, flits around and he goes on NBC and CBS and CNN and tells about how great it's going to be to, you know, to vaccinate everybody. And yet he doesn't even have a college degree. You people are
but
so freaking stupid. You
he's
deserve
got a
it.
Pink sweater.
No, they deserve it. I'm sorry.
No, we don't.
The people do deserve it if they give, if they don't arrest him, they do deserve it. Come on, we deserve it if we don't arrest him.
Well, I've been calling for the arrest of all of these mad scientists for over a year. But so far, they haven't been arrested.
God's going to use it as a test to see who's with him and who's with the world. I just...
So one of my questions is this, guys. So one of my questions is this to the panel, to the group. And what do people do? What do people do? And my next question is this, too, is...
They're going to die. There's
been talk. I know, like, President Trump... Well, and I know that President Trump has talked about, you know, a vaccine coming up. So is everybody believing in the vaccine? Is there another option for it?
I think there's a first vaccine coming out. Patrick, there's a first vaccine coming out that I don't believe is a Bill Gates vaccine. I think it might be just like the old flu shot vaccine. I don't stay on that. Go do your own research. But I think that first one Gates is against, and it won't have the hydrogel. You know what I mean? I think this is what there's planned though for 2021 to roll out the Gates thing, which is based on the COVID. In other words, they gave us the COVID. They locked us all down, and all in preparation.
This is the lockstep
to implant
the
humanity.
Rockefeller Foundation's
to take over
2010.
It's a genome
plan.
It's a genome takeover, is what it is, and that's what they're going to do. So the reason we're educating people here today is so people can make a decision, because they're going to be coming to your home with their contact tracing, and they're going to be following you around if you don't have a way of shielding your cell phones. And so we want to prepare you for this ultra police state that is in the works right now. And that's why we're locked down. And there are people that work for them, like the Antifas and the BLMs and all the rest of them. They're all basically will tell you exactly who's paying them. It's a totalitarian regime.
Soros.
And they want a totalitarian world. You notice they never get in trouble when they burn things down or kill people in cold blood, because
it's getting really obvious
now. They work for the globalists, that's why. And they are the employees of George Soros, and that's why they don't get in trouble, because Soros owns all the DAs in America.
Did everybody catch Newt Gingrich last week on that
he said
Fox
the word,
News
he
show?
He said the name Soros, and they threw him off the air.
Yeah, on the...
Name Soros, you saw dead air.
Yeah.
And actually said it twice.
Good luck getting back on that show.
Yeah.
These things. And as soon as he went into all of that, started to go into detail, the host and the other guest, I mean, it was like they just stepped off of set for a second. And they both said, oh, we don't need to be doing
this. Awkward. Very
and
awkward.
Nothing about the episode.
And this is stuff that everybody knows, right? Everybody knows this already. I mean, Fox itself has reported on this over the years. I mean, it's not like this is groundbreaking, you know.
Well, for the smart people out there, welcome to your education. Glad, you know, you've suspected this was, we've been telling you it was a synthetic world, a simulation. I don't know how long. Now you can see it's all fake. All fake. All your democracy and your constitutional republic and all the things you thought you had, you don't have any of it. It was all fake your whole life. But now you have a chance to wake up and do something good. And
there is a lot of awakening. A lot of people are.
You have a chance to do something good and prove yourself to the Almighty God that you value life versus you value death. Because the people that are instituting these hydrogels and all that are a death cult. Mm-hmm. They worship Satan, and they're a death cult, and they basically, they're all the same, whether you go to Hollywood, or I've been around these people my whole life, by the way, and they're all the same. Whether you go to New York, you go to L.A., you go into their clubs, they all act the same about
one
everything.
One of the great weapons that we have against all this invasion is prayer, and that's one of the things they fear the very most. Dr. Tenpenny recently said that most of the vaccine makers, the actual companies, and the people that are in them are all eugenicists. I mean, just across the board, and a lot of them are Satanists.
Right. That's the world is Satan. The world's run by Satan. So, you know, this is the time of great spiritual awakening and to realize that your body, you know, though the Lord expects you to keep it intact, in other words, you know, to not become a cyborg, but your body, you know, when you leave it, you know this is the time to develop it. You know that life goes on after your body gives out, right? I mean, in other words, if they kill you, you're not really dead. And just to know that, because the people that are afraid for their own lives and are going to be saving their own lives, they're the ones that are going to be, you know, I guess having the most problem. I mean, you almost have to be like Stephen. If they say, okay, you don't take this thing, we're going to kill you. We're going to euthanize you. We're going to give you a shot that will put you to sleep. And then you, let's say you're sitting there with that decision. The thing you don't want to do is say, oh, gee, I don't want to die. I'm with you guys. Go ahead and give me the hydrogel. What you want to do is you want to say, Lord, if this is what you have for me, then I accept it. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he had to accept his fate and drink from that cup. And I'm coming home, Lord. And you just have to have enough faith to carry you through that decision. Because that may come, and I'm sorry to scare people, but it's, you know, it is a reality that we could lose our lives because of this. I've been warning about Gates for I don't know how many years, and I told you he was going to be bad. And I told you it was going to come right into your living room. And I told you it's going to come right home to you, to your free will. You see, you're more important than you think you are, every one of you, because you have something they don't have. And they, for all this time and all these generations, have been usurping what you've got inside you for themselves and for their power and even for their talents, for people that are, you know, the rock stars and people. They've taken it from you and given it to their candidates who will serve them. And Bishop Kanko talked about that.
Yeah.
And so I cannot stress, I mean, I know that I'm talking exact truth. Exact. And I know exact truth is extremely scary. But you just have to understand that it may not go that way for you. I mean, it may not be either take this or lose your children. I mean, there's that kind of thing they might throw at you. Any of these things they can throw at you. You can see now that we're not supermen. We're not able to, you know, when they come with the trucks and the guns and everything to your home, there's not much you can do. But the one thing that you're always going to have in the end, and one thing they can't violate, is your free will decision.
Right.
Your free will decision. And as long as you still have that, you're still a human being. When you've given that up, you're no longer human. You're their pet or subject to their, you know, you're their property, put it that way. And as long as you still have your free will intact and you choose the Lord, you are alive. And you're what God made, and God will take care of us all, you know, even if it has to come down to a nasty thing like being a martyr. You know, nobody wants to be a martyr. But looks like they've got, you know, and I'm open to miracles, you know, that there could be a miracle staving off of our death sentence. But I, you know, we're all sitting here in a death sentence, kind of on death row here with this vaccine situation, which is not a vaccine. It's a digitizing of the DNA situation. So I don't know what you're going to do. I'm not taking it because I don't want to. I want to be what God made me. I want to remain connected to God. It's really important to me because, like, in the middle of the night when I feel bad and there's no one to talk to, the Lord's always there to comfort me and always there to help me. And the Lord has brought me through so many things. And so I owe my life to the Lord. I don't owe my life to Satan. I don't owe my life to anything in this world. I owe my life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
because he saved me. He took me off a death spiral with the drugs, and I was, you know, going down. I was also, I just had so many, you know, suicide attempts and all kinds of things that happened to me, that I was just on that self-destruct trajectory, and nothing was going to help me, nothing. And then the Lord, as soon as I was open to it, as soon as I reached out, he was there. And he stopped me from killing myself. He stopped me from death. He saved me from death. He saved me from failure. He saved me from a complete failed life, which people around me wanted me to have for whatever reason. He saved me from being destroyed by trauma of past injustices that had been done to me with no adjudication. I was able to survive that without having, you know, without being twisted in my personality, you know, able to let all that go through forgiveness, through Jesus' example. Without that, I don't think I would have been, I wouldn't have lasted more than about 20 years old.
Praise the Lord.
And so, you know, so when somebody does something for you, right, you tend to want to pay that back. And the only way I can pay that back is keeping my free will decision for the Lord and not for a 5-minute convenience in the world to be able to go on an airplane. And that's not going to, now hopefully that'll go on a while, you know, but
yeah,
the Bible says they'll kill you.
Like, it looks like they really want to make it so that you can't travel. I mean, I used to ask people early on during this pandemic, you people that are willingly wearing the masks and going along with all this, these mandates, even though they're totally unscientific and totally, you know, strange.
Right. 100% don't
work. Are you going to also, when it comes up, take the mark of the beast? And everybody got really mad at me. I mean, most people said, no way, I'm not going to. But some people got really upset with me and saying, wow, are you saying that because I'm wearing the mask for my health, that when the vaccine or the mark of the beast comes, I'm going to take that? How could you say such a thing? I mean, I'm just asking.
Well, that's what the mask is for.
I'm just asking.
Anyway, let's open up to the panel. This discussion goes on. Anybody, I'm going to get out of the way now. Sorry. Having trouble.
Oh. Govinda, you're kind of...
Yeah, Govinda, that you are...
What's going on?
Yeah, we're not getting you at all.
We're getting you just muddled and not
totally muddled.
Sentence.
Yeah. So is there a way to?
What can we do to fix
this? Yeah, let me hop off and I'll come back in.
Okay, because it's troubling. Okay. Ah.
So it's on you now, Patrick.
You know,
Charles.
You know, Zeph. I've been watching this kind of as from afar for a while, and there's a thought that just keeps reoccurring to me, especially when I look at the death rates and the small percentages and how people are overreacting, you know, the media, those in charge.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like this might be more of a trial run.
Oh, yeah.
To see what kind of opposition they got, to see who's going to oppose it, so that when the real thing comes in, something much worse, they will already have a good gauge on who their opposition will be, so that they can move in quickly and snatch the people out. I think it's more along the lines, but I think there's also something else that's coming on that they didn't expect. You know, if I was to just use whatever word or phrase that I keep hearing coming out of the churches, it would be something like, wow, it's all really true. And I think that's the thing that's happening in the churches. They're looking at their scriptures. They're looking at their news. And they're saying, wow, this is really beginning to happen. And they're beginning to awaken.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Problem with most of them is that they don't know where to go. When they awaken, they go to their pastor. And their pastor is a dupe for the people that are running this whole fake thing.
Yeah, they're all saying
this. And I think, you know, I told you years ago that I think the people in the church are going to make up the tribulation saints, largely. Hmm. And I think that's largely going to be true. People are going to be caught up in the middle of this. They're now going to begin to understand what's going on, but they've never been taught how to come to God, how to rely on God, how to trust God for everything, day by day. And without that basis of their faith, they're going to fall victim to what's about to happen.
You know, it seems.
But praise God, they woke up. They will be saved, even though they may well lose their lives.
Yeah, Bill Gates himself has called this a trial run, basically, and so has actually Pompeo. You know, he said this is like a what did he call it? It's not like it's really a thing that's going on. It's like a test.
What about when you see Trump begging people to open up, like he doesn't have the power to do anything? Please open up. Please open up.
He was great last night on that speech in North Carolina.
But no, he doesn't want to alarm people, but he doesn't have that power that people thought he did.
I think he will, if he wins re-election, Zeph, I think he will all of a sudden become much more powerful.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You will see
that's
a type of
that's true
that we have not yet seen.
All I know is that this hatred that we're seeing has been one of the greatest eye-openers and has caused people, like you were saying, Charles, to really see what's there and to really see the need for God, you know, to see that, gosh, any other alternative is just burn everything down and kill everybody in cold blood and just nobody cares and there's no conscience and it's just all pure, you know, hell. And the alternative is God. And that, you know, your life is precious. Your life does mean something. And but you have to get oriented right. You know, I went around to all the religions trying to find some kind of help. And, you know, it was all, you know, and they have all very good ideas. They all have very similar philosophies and you know, just, it, you know, in very informed. But, you know, there's nothing like the Jesus factor, the fact that we're given to Jesus. You know, we're given to Jesus for this salvation, that Jesus does it. In other words, we don't save ourselves. And we need Jesus to actually save us. That is, save us from this situation that now is very obvious to people. and then, you know, if you look at John 15, 16, and 17, those are the three chapters, I think, that are explain the most about who we are in Christ, Christ in us. Us in, you know, us in the I am in us as one, and that we were really, you know, these the Father gave to me that they would see me glorified and they would be glorified as I am glorified. And so it's kind of like nobody does it on their own, right? And that's been the subtle difference between really Christianity, I suppose, you know, being and all the other religions have not had this understanding about sin and salvation, and not just sin, but being lost in a world that when you pull back the covers, it's just pure evil, and being rescued really from that. But God made it so that we can't rescue ourselves, so that we can't get, you know, all popped up on our pride and feel powerful like sorcerers, and we can change things around, and we can be like gods. I mean, Lord cut that off. We can't be that. We actually are in a pretty weak position, but in Christ we're in the strongest position there is. It's just extraordinary. It's so subtle. It's so sublime that it delights when I think about it. I mean, I'm not articulating it very well right now, but it delights me when I think about how God designed this situation, that we must be dependent on Him, that there's no way you can be puffed up. You have to come to Him with a humble heart. And usually when you're broken and you come and you get on your knees and you just say, I've screwed everything up. Is there any chance for me? So.
Do we get Govinda on again?
Well, that's exactly that. But, I mean, Zeph, that's exactly that what you're talking about. Like, when it comes down to it, like, what is it? What is it? And what is going to be the thing that's going to pull you out of your situation?
Yeah.
Not just that, like, but who do you put your trust into? Like, when it comes down to it, guys, like, how we say, like, you know, as difficult, as hard as it is, but also as easy and as simple as it is, you know, giving your life to Christ and trusting Him in His time is probably the best decision anybody would ever make. The best business deal you can ever make. But the biggest thing is I mean, you know, you guys brought it up to like the light. I mean, at the end of the day, when you are faced with a choice, you gotta make a choice. What way are you gonna lean? Right? When you look at it, you know, it won't be your pastors that's gonna be, or your priest, or your clergy that's gonna save you. No, it's the Lord. And Jesus Christ already died on the cross for all your sins. Literally, He has done that. It's been done. It's been closed. There's a way out. There's a decision that you can make that there's no, you know, that you have hope in. And it's all this time, like I know Govinda and I have talked like along the way. It's like, where are these, you know, where are some of those pastors, some of these mega church? Why aren't they speaking out? Why aren't they out there and preaching the gospel, the good news?
Yeah.
The good news. There is like people out there on the street that are literally going up and preaching the gospel in the street corners, at the parks, and baptizing people.
You know, now you can preach the gospel now.
Do that.
Yeah, they can do. You can preach the gospel now and call it a protest, and they can't stop you. They're so stupid. But we do have one standout guy from a mega church, which is John MacArthur in L.A. Who I've, you know,
proud of him.
The standing up he's done, man. Oh man, I mean, I used to rag on him because we had a hard time in that church.
We went to that church for a while.
But he's really, you know, but I'm always, you know, there to forgive. I don't want to hold anything against anybody. What I see now from him is a true hero of the Lord, you know, to be able to stand up to the evil oligarch, to the evil government of California, to the evil people, to the death cult of California.
And at the same time, he's disproving the whole plandemic lie.
But here's what he said.
With thousands and thousands of people in his church, listen, and nobody's getting sick.
He's older than all of us. He's like 85.
Yeah.
And here's what he said. He said, they're saying they want to come arrest me. And then he goes, bring it on. I'd love to start a church. I'd love to start a prison ministry, he says. Got it. I just love that guy.
Well, exactly, but this is the movement that we're...
This is all new.
This is the movement we're calling on.
Like, yeah.
He goes, this is what the church is calling on. You know what? Let's all stand together, because I can tell you this. If the church stand together, doesn't matter what denomination you are, if the church stand together... Man, that will be a massive wave.
It's coming.
A massive movement, right?
It's coming.
You know,
I'm telling you.
And that's what we need. We need for people to stand out in that.
This persecution.
And I'm not talking about violence or anything else like that. I'm talking about true.
No,
you know,
not
true,
violence, not violence.
Peaceful
love.
And peaceful and... And love, exactly. That is the word that they're afraid of. It's that exact word, L-O-V-E, true love.
Yeah,
because love casts out all fear.
And forgiveness of our enemies.
That's what happens. Once you start loving, now your frequency, you start vibrating in a higher frequency that can heal people.
Way up there.
That's what Jesus had. Jesus was... Exactly, frequency was high. That's how you could heal people. That's exactly what they don't want you to achieve. It is love.
When I was reading about...
Once you have love...
Yeah. When I was reading about these guys burning the churches... Go ahead, Patrick. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All I was going to say was that when I see the guys burning the churches down, you know, I used to get so angry in a way, but then now... And that goes for the rioters too. You know, what I see is like people caught up in a spirit of bondage. You know that, and most of them they don't even know it. And so it's hard to blame someone when they fall into that. You know, because it's like, when You know, a lot of these people are feel like society is they're anti-society, let's say, because society is evil. Okay, they figured that out, so they want to overthrow society or whatever. I really don't blame them. I'm just saying any of these people would meet the Lord, you know, so then I'm not going to condemn them, and I don't want to kill them, and I don't want to hurt them. But when they get the Lord, usually people that are that fervent, they become real star warriors for the Lord. They become the most fervent when they finally figure out what's going on. It's just the problem is that ignorance is... trapped a lot of people. They've kept books from people. They've kept the Bible from people. They've kept history from people. They've indoctrinated them in the high schools and the colleges, so that when they come out of there, they're susceptible to these riots and rallies that say burn it all down and overthrow, you know, no USA at all and all that, where none of those things would ever be a solution. It would just be more misery for people and adding more misery to what's already miserable. So, you know, but... again, I just say that we can't, you know, every once in a while, one of these guys repents.
Even Biden's motto that he's got for his election campaign is a UN motto, Build Back Better. That means that you have to tear everything down first, and that's their plan, is to tear everything down.
Right, right. But the kids on the street don't realize that they're being played by the rich oligarchs, and they're all, you know... they're all there pulling the puppet strings to get their solution. They have no plan to include those their little soldiers on the streets who are doing the putting themselves at risk. They don't have any plan to include them later. What usually happens in the communist revolution is that the true believers end up getting shot along with the people that are being subjugated. You know, like the landowners and business owners. Right now, you're seeing that they're all against business. They've closed about 80% of small business now and destroyed it in this country. That's a communist, it's called a communist takeover. Comes from communism. That's part of their communist manifesto, is to destroy any kind of, you know, entrepreneur, you know, small farmers, anyone like that. It will be a targeted for extinction and for destruction. And so then people say, well...
it's so sad here in New Mexico. I mean, it's
well, yeah, very
our,
sad.
Our draconian...
We're in the greatest poverty of any state.
Wuhan, the governor, she's just on a terror rampage.
But she's doing what her bosses are telling her to do,
yeah,
which is destroy small business of New Mexico. And she's done it already. She's got 80% shuttered.
80%, so, and now she's blaming it on Trump.
Of course. Trump is the Democrat scapegoat. So the thing is that, you know, but nothing is new about this, is my point, folks. This is, you can pick it up and look there. I'm looking at a book right now on the shelf called Marx and Satan by Richard Wormbrand. Now, you can go, that's a
good book.
I read that a couple of times. I highly recommend it. It will teach you what it's all about from a spiritual perspective. Why the thing, and then once you read that book, you can actually make predictions too about where this will go. The communist revolution is always sponsored by the rich oligarchs of the world, by the movers, the people of Rothschilds, the, you know who they are, the big banking cartels, the big corporatocracies. And you see the big corporations in America, you know, starting to put their Black Lives Matter on the, you know, for football and, you know, on their helmets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
when they don't even realize that Black Lives Matter is simply a communist front, actually a Chinese communist front.
I think they do realize.
And if they do realize it, then they're idiots, because they're the ones that are going to be killed in the end.
Yeah.
They're never going to see their nirvana. They're never going to see their utopia. They don't plan to include you. But I can say this till I'm blue in the face, and they just go, "You're just a right wing bigot. You're just a right wing racist." And then I'm like, "No, I'm just telling you. I know exactly what this is." And then they do Antifa. Antifa is run by the same people that run Black Lives Matter. It's all the same pot, and they're all, you know, anti God, pro Satan, anti United States, anti Constitution, and basically they try to call everything racist. Like, okay, if you say you know, pledge allegiance to the flag is racist, the national anthem is racist, football is racist, the only way it can be redeemed is to have the label Black Lives Matter on it. Well, you know, it's so
Please.
Sorry to all the blacks of the world that they're being, you know, used in this way to be this label for communism, I'm sure that most people that are conscious, including, you know, black people who are conscious, I'm sure they don't like being used. It's like if someone had White Lives Matter and they were doing all this in the name of white people, I'd be pissed off, man.
Yep.
White Lives Matter, same thing.
It's exactly that when it comes down to it. It comes down to love. To love, because once you love, you love everybody. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Color, like, you know, it doesn't matter anything. It comes down to love, the ending, and if they're there to divide us, to conquer us, they're gonna do it. But that's why, as true believers, you know, true believers, we just trust in Him, and His name is so much more powerful because and people can feel it within who they are, within their core, who they are, what they are, and what they do.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for a while, this 2020, and we have seen so many things happen, but obviously the past 6 months, it has been exponentially fast. Things happen there and there and there. But we have to remain solid into Jesus, into the Lord. Even as we come.
Yeah.
Yes. And as we come back and pray later on, like that's one thing we do have to pray about, not just for people listening, people on this panel, but for the entire world. Because when He comes back in fury. And you know, all these people that think that they can do it with technology, they can do it with this, they can join that club or join that group or join it, anything. Doesn't matter, because when he comes back in fear, and then you're going to realize, uh-oh, what have I done? Like, you know, when people are on their deathbed, like, they start truly thinking, hey, what's next for me here? What is my next thing? And that's why you see the believers that when they were free, when their mind was free, when they were, you know, when they could go beyond this three dimension, like when they were free spirited, when these Christians got put into the galley and they, you know, and they were being murdered, they were, you know, they left this earth or this illusion, they left it with a smile. They left it with a smile.
That's right.
You know, they left it with a smile because they knew where they were going. They were free. And that's the message that we have. That, you know, you made a decision here. You are free. You are free. Free of, you know, your mind is free. Your body is free. Trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Trust in Him because the Father's right there. He's right with you. Literally, He is right with you. He is right with you. And you know, people they get afraid with you know, the disease and this and that, because they try to tell you that, oh man, this thing is so scary, like you won't survive it. But no, you know what? Death, and as simple as you can put it, when we use that, we're passing away, or we go on the other side. It's like crossing the street, right? That's what we're doing. It's the street. And you even talk about it too, Zeph. Like you talk about, like, you know, it's like a wall. You know, we're going to go beyond the wall. You know,
Right? We're about mid wall right now. We're like halfway through the wall, and then but then on the other side, life goes on. It's a whole different life too. It's very exciting. You know, when you think about it, everybody, it's very exciting. Our future. Even though we warn.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'm just trying to. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you're kind of.
You sound better.
Better, yeah.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, it's strange. I'm enjoying everything. I just don't seem to be coming through. You know, everything that Patrick's saying is absolutely on point. And these are the things that we've got to keep in mind because, you know, when you take a step back a little bit and you see where the worlders allocate resources. There's a reason for it. So this whole attempt to hijack consciousness through the through getting people engaged, you have to understand the reason for it. Why are we surrounded by this nonstop external news cycle, fear, paranoia, try to get everybody on this race wagon to divide and conquer people? All of these things are programs. All of these things are setups. All these things are done for a reason. Because we talked before years ago about just how the British Empire kept the nation of India under their thumb through the divide and conquer methodology. 3,000 troops kept a billion people under wraps.
Yeah.
You know, people divide. You can do anything you want when you've got people fighting against each other. You can destroy any nation you want when you've got them all fighting against each other. All of these things that have been set up, they're done on purpose. These are all done by design. These are things that have come from think tanks. Okay, you put Black Lives Matter versus the police. That's a no-win divide and conquer program. You get everybody whipped up into a storm and everybody fighting against each other and everybody taking a side for what? And to tear yourselves down. You know, everybody that has any medical knowledge whatsoever, you talk about and you bring out something like the mask. Well, on a medical standpoint, it's ridiculous. It's laughable. Totally. But from a society programming standpoint, it's absolutely essential. Why? Because you can see it. Mm-hmm. Here's something that you can't wash their hands, but washing your hands will do so much more for reducing germ transfer than wearing a mask. But you can tell if somebody's wearing a mask. So if you have people wearing or not wearing a mask, that is a way to condition society. That is a way to program society. So if people don't start to realize what's being done on them, and if you just accept the narrative given and now being told what's your opinion about the force-fed narrative, you will keep going in circles. And you will keep going down their path and taking either or, maybe I don't want the red pill or the blue pill. Maybe I don't want to take any of your pills.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, why do Amen. I got to take?
Amen.
Why is it one or the other? Why is it, you know, can we forget about political parties and talk about policy? You know, I would like to know what the policy.
The hell with the parties. Like the parties are just, they're just there to divide and conquer. Forget the parties. Let's talk about unity of people.
Yes, absolutely. Once we start getting into the actual thick of it, listen, every person listening to this, you are my brother, you are my sister, if you are human. If you are
Hello.
A being and you have God inside of you, you are my brother, you are my sister. I have no animosity, no anger, nothing against any of you. And I wish you every success in your life and in your journey. And if there's something that I can do to this process, I would like to be able to do that within my goodwill and intention for that. Done. So now just assume that I have your best interest at heart, and I can't email 1,000 people every day, so I'm sorry about that. But I wish you the best and I wish you success in your journey of life. I am your friend in this journey, not your enemy. Amen. But I will we can all work together for the good of each other. What an amazing world that would be. You know, I think the thing is, too, it's so many people that have been divided against each other. If they actually sat down and looked at what's really important to them, they probably would find out that you've got 90% in common with the other people.
Right.
But people have been stirred up and whipped up into a frenzy against each other while behind the scenes they've been robbed, looted, destroyed, their health has been compromised, they've been siphoned off, their energy has been extracted from them.
Yep.
So even all the stuff that we're discussing right now of these intentions that they have towards humanity, who the hell do these people think that they are to go over there and say, oh, we want to now steal and hijack the consciousness of 7 billion people on this earth to turn it whatever way we want? Who are you?
Yeah.
You know, who do you you are to be standing up there, and well, now you want to try
it's really
to
what, Govind, it's really what they are. They're weak. That's why they do it.
And so now, in this process, there's the, they they only achieve what they want to when we acquiesce, when we allow them to, when we back down, when we don't recognize who we are. You know, right now, there are plenty of people around the world that are not going along with the program, that are asking questions,
right,
logical, sequential, you know, fact-based questions, which have no response. The level of doublespeak would drive anybody insane if they're an actual logical person trying to be part of their thinking. Yeah. If you're going along with them to be part of their thinking, you will go nuts because they flip-flop every other day. Right now, the DNC is anti-vax for the next 2 months. For the next 2 months, they're anti-vax. Yeah, until this election.
No, they were pro-vax. I mean, I can't keep up with it. They were pro-vax a little while ago. And then all of a sudden, now that there's going to be one, now they don't want it because they want to keep the narrative going that Trump had no COVID response. And so the vaccine doesn't go along with that narrative. So now they want to push, well, there is no real safe vaccine, so they can keep scapegoating. They're really a bad actor in all this. They want to keep their people divided, so they use Trump to do it. But, you know, when he's not there, they have other ways. I mean, all they want to do is keep us at each other's throats. All they want to do.
Another amazing thing is
why I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
With the CDC announcement that really it's only 6% that have actually died from COVID.
Right, right. So that's
that means 94% have not.
It's like 0.003 or something death rate.
And
to lock down and destroy business, and you know how many people...
That's public knowledge, but the media is still going along with COVID.
They're not saying
this.
Wear
your mask.
They're not saying this. There's been, apparently, about 65,000 deaths in the United States due to the lockdown.
Yeah, people committing suicide because they have no way to make a living.
Drug overdoses.
And
65,000, and that number's growing, and one day it will eclipse... So the whole thing...
Very bad numbers here in our state. Oh, very bad numbers.
If this was a normal kind of universe, and you saw people doing this to another people, and you were sort of an outside country watching, what you'd do is put together your army, your navy, and you would invade that country to liberate the people. Because you would not want to see the people being so abused by their governors and mayors and political process and totalitarianism. This was America, and I feel a lot of people, had fought and died, and, you know, there's really tough founding of this place. Now they want to tear that down, tear everything down, and then basically once they've got it there, they want to kill. And, of course, they want to kill everybody that has the old ideology. They want to only let people live who have the communist mind control. It's sad because I predict no one's going to do anything except be victimized.
Well, I'm grateful that President Trump has really addressed the situation regarding education and wants actual real education instead of what has been happening with this Marxist, communist indoctrination for the past several generations.
Yeah, they did that when I was in college taking first freshman English. We were being told that the same talking points, the same Communist Manifesto points, by our English teacher. I'm like,
I noticed it in grade school in a small town in Alaska with a two room school. I noticed it. I noticed it when they started bringing in the communists. I noticed when they changed the water, so to speak. But it's been growing all these years. We've been warned by many people who know about it.
I just didn't want to see, like, you know, now they would kill a billion people, and I just didn't want to see a billion people murdered. So I've been against communism, trying to save people. Mm-hmm. But apparently now they think they're going to have utopia, and they don't believe that the communist situation ends up murdering many, many, many people, and, to the tune of hundreds of millions of people. And that didn't do anything wrong. It was just people, you know, in their lives, they have their farms and they have their little businesses and whatever. And they get killed because they're capitalists or whatever, because they have a small business or because they have a Bible or because they said the wrong thing in public or they, you know, it's very much like the French Revolution where they started guillotining everybody because they overheard them say something nice about the king. And because of that, they, the next, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're getting their head lopped off. And it, you know, I don't want to see it go to that, folks. I don't like to see a bloodbath of people in America. I'd like to save the kids. I'd like to save everybody. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, the only solution is spiritual.
Yes.
It's going to have to be Jesus. It's going to have to be, well, you know, I tried to save myself through Lao Tzu, through Sun Tzu, through Confucius, through the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Vedas, you know, Western mysticism, Pythagoras, the mystery schools of Greece. I tried to save myself through all those different ways, and guess what? I couldn't do it because there was no salvation available. I recognized that I needed saving because I got so far out and so weak I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't do anything. And that's when God stepped in and did everything and saved my, literally my life, my, you know, trajectory forward of what to do with
exactly
my life.
Exactly that. Yeah.
He said everything. He saved everything. I didn't do anything. Remember?
You just surrendered.
I just finally gave up, and I came. I told Trish, I was out on the veranda. What do you call that? The porch out front.
Right.
And I was on the stones. I was looking up, and I had this experience with the Almighty God. And I came in, and I told Trish.
I was asleep.
And then Trish, she immediately jumped on the bandwagon. Like she got a charge out of it too.
Yeah.
And like, so okay. she got a. Next thing you know, we're
yes, Jesus, thank you.
Yeah, and the very next thing that happened. I was standing in the bathroom looking at myself in the mirror, and all of a sudden a little voice came and said, "You don't need Jesus. You can just go to God direct, you know?" And it was like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, within one day.
Sorry, Satan.
Within one day. And it's interesting that I was in front of a mirror, right? Perfect, right? Can you believe that? Within one day, I was being told, "You don't need Jesus. All you need is God direct. And love in your heart, and you can, and, you know, and I knew better because I've been so beat up. I've been so hurt. I've been so down. I was ready to die. I was so strung out on drugs that I just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I was right on the way to, you know, within a day or two of death. And that came right away that you don't need Jesus. You don't need this. You don't just rely on God and everything's okay. Well, I had tried to rely on God and everything wasn't okay. So I knew better when I heard that voice, and I rebuked it.
And that's the thing, Jeff. That's the thing, Jeff. Love enter in, and then you start, frequencies start being higher and higher. Love entered in, and whatever the enemy was trying to tell you, it didn't make sense anymore. He didn't abide or believe in that because love is, he has touched you. And that's why we keep on talking to the people about on this channel and everywhere we go. Doesn't matter, honestly, doesn't matter. I mean, you know, politically, you know, it doesn't matter what happened. As long as you know and you have that relationship with the Lord Almighty, with Jesus Christ, knowing that he died on the cross for your sin. That's the number one thing.
Amen. That's the number one thing. Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word.
No. You know what? You need to believe. It doesn't matter what happened because you know what? And I tell that to, you know, to Govinda and a lot of friends. It's like, guys, it doesn't matter who goes first because by the time we turn our right, like our head right or left, we're all going to be together. We're all going to be at the same place.
Yeah.
We're all going to be with him. We're worshiping him. We're going to be there. And that's what we all need to understand. And it comes down to just these simple things. You don't have to go to university for 10 years or know how to read and write. No, it comes down to literally that. Literally, it comes down to this. You know, trusting the Lord, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, knowing that he is your Savior, knowing that, you know, and that's all you need. That's all you need. And the rest will come. Or may not come. But you know where you're going. You know where you're going to end up. You won't end up as something else than being, you know, what you've been called to be. Right? You're going to be with him. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, there was those two thieves, right? You know, and in the Word, it talks about that. You know? at the last minute. You know, the ones he said, come on, man, save yourself, save us, whatever. I mean, I'm just kind of paraphrasing. Yeah. You're like, save yourself. You know, and he said, you know what? We are true criminals. We have done our sin, but he has done nothing. And he asked him at the last moment, you know, hey, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. Remember me at the last second or last moment of his life. Remember me. That was him, you know, that was him trusting God. That was him accepting Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
That was that moment that he became a believer. And Jesus turned and said, yes, you know, you will be with me in heaven.
Right.
And that's to show everybody.
Yeah, and we're all sinners. We're all sinners in sin.
This is where we are.
We're all thieves. We're all liars.
Yeah,
all
this is where we are. Well, you know,
we're all guilty. Yep.
Yeah. We all are. We all are.
But there's a great solution. And when people have their eye on the Lord, I do notice that their vibration, their frequency comes up. Because they, you know, when you're taken care of, you have a nice warm glow about you. You know what I mean? There's something really gentle about you. You're very, approachable. You're very lovable. You know what I mean? Because you're taking when you feel rejected and, you know, having to fend for yourself and like you're like a kind of like a fighter, street fighter, you're not very pleasant. You don't really attract people to you. You're not really, you know what I mean? You're waiting for the next attack. You're being streetwise and all that, which you probably should be. But when you're with the Lord, you're just like, wow, I'm free. I don't have to do any of that stuff, you know? Not that you be a fool, but you know that all that kind of fending for yourself sort of goes out the window when you realize the Lord is there, and you just go, Father, in Jesus' name, which way today? Where would you like to go? What would you like to do? I'll do it. I'll go. Let's go. And that makes life extremely, to say the least, pleasurable. Now, see, I think we forget that aspect of it. There's a great deal of pleasure in being, you know, a child of the Most High God, you know, and feeling that love and feeling like you're taking, you know, when kids feel like they belong and they're really loved, they just are like free spirits. They don't, you know what I mean? They don't get in fights in the playground and all, you know, they're just kind of flowing free. You know, there's this thing that Jesus says. He said, unless you're like these little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's like, the Lord restores your youth and restores your childhood innocence in a sense where you can just be yourself. Because you know you got the back because the Lord wants that, because that's who God made you. And so he protects, you start to rely on his protection. And so you're going to be yourself without worry about criticism or people mocking or laughing or you know, you stop being so self-conscious and narcissistic, and you're just going to go like, wow, I'm just going to be a kid here. I'm just going to, you know, you can open up all these doors, like I say, to innocence, where people, you know, when you were young, we never used to think about if there are bad guys out there around the corner or something could happen to us. We a lot of that kind of thinking, you know, ruins adulthood. You're always worrying about the next thing, the next shoe to drop, something's going to happen bad. And so you're just kind of like, you know, on guard and all alone and can't trust anyone and can't trust people in your own household. I mean, I run into a lot of people with that one. They're married, they have families, they're going to be going on a vacation, and nobody knows anybody. That's only because the trust of the Lord is not there. Once that's restored in a family or a group or a company, it doesn't matter. That's when the good times start flowing, you know. I mean, but you look at that old guy John MacArthur when he's talking.
I'm so happy that he stepped up.
Yeah, you know, even though you know he's now you know one of the good guys. Now he was a bad guy before, but now he's you know. He's,
but we always knew that the Lord loved him because. Yeah.
But he sounds like a child. You go, he's 85. You can't believe it. He's like. Or 80-something, 80.
I remember you saw angels holding him up.
But the
That's
guy...
That's when we were receiving persecution, too, in the church.
Okay, he's over 80 years old.
He looks great.
And he's just like... His voice is like a child. It's amazing.
So the persecution really does strengthen the church. That's good. That's good.
He just says, I can't wait to go to prison, you know, if that's what God has for me, because I always wanted to start a prison ministry.
I love it.
And he means it. He's serious about that.
And he's had a plush, you know, probably about 8,000 people in that church. And hallelujah, they're all going. They're all showing up.
Well,
now they're trying to take away the parking lot.
Well, the more they persecute that church, the more pure that the belief in Jesus, the purer mm-hmm. their walk will be. Mm-hmm. And they may be the first Elijah church. This is the Elijah factor. Elijah's coming to bust up all the churches and to throw all the evil pastors out. And that's what's happening now. And here's what's happening there. Grace Community Church used to be really about conformity.
It was. I remember I used to go.
They don't want no freaks in there. You know what I'm saying?
And we were freaks, I guess. Jesus freaks.
We were real freaks.
I used to go to the Wednesday women's meetings, you know, and it would be thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it was really a really conformed place. Like the children, it was like a military school. The children would walk in rows. And it was,
they'd all dress the same.
And it was really, you know.
It was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And I remember one day this woman was giving her testimony, and she goes, I just want to thank the Lord that you've made me so humble. And I just couldn't believe it.
She started laughing.
I started laughing because.
Yeah, I know. No one would say that.
And it was just weird. I mean, the whole thing was really kind of like a, you know. What's that old movie?
I went to a baptism class there, and they asked me what the teachers couldn't explain it to the students, so they asked me, so I explained it to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, what the heck is this down
here? We're going to a baptism class, and the teacher of the class gets a question from the crowd. Well, why do we have to be baptized?
Exactly.
And the guy couldn't answer it, and so Zeph volunteers. And they wanted to run us out of there. They said they were going to get a restraining order on us.
Yeah, they told us they're getting a restraining order on us. Believe it or not, because of inserting ourselves into, I guess because we weren't going to sit there and just let them bark orders at us, and we were.
And I remember one Christmas season, my mom was visiting from Alaska. She has a beautiful voice. She had a really beautiful voice.
Soprano.
Very strong soprano, and. We were singing in everybody was looking at my mom because she was sounding so beautiful.
Beautiful vibrato, yeah.
Yeah, and they like didn't want us there. It was weird.
They didn't want us there at all. And when I would prophesy sometimes about people, and it ended up exposing like an FBI agent that was there undercover.
No, that was a different church.
That's a different church, but I mean, I'm just saying they don't like that.
No,
because they're hiding secrets. So now I am going to hope that that Grace Community Church, that this thing that's happened to them, straightens all that kind of stuff out. You know that.
Yeah.
And I'm not only willing to forgive.
He's a hero now.
I'm willing to return there.
Yeah.
If they'll have me. You know, it's a long ways away from here. I'm just saying. I'm nothing is forever with me. I mean, I've been praying that something would happen with that church and the other ones in L.A. You know, that they would really get the Holy Spirit and they would get what this is all about. And it looks like that's the first one. So we're watching that very carefully.
Praise the Lord. I mean,
there's
several churches in California that are standing up.
Right.
Several.
We're seeing mass baptisms out at the beach at Huntington Beach, which is also really something. I mean, did you ever think you'd start seeing? I guess we all did. We all predicted that we'd start seeing all this kind of stuff.
This is that's a blessing of this whole pandemic thing. I'm just so sick of it, though. The other day I had to go grocery shopping, and I've never worn a mask. I have not even one time, and through this whole thing. And if they don't let me in without one, I just don't go in. But Walmart is like the only place I can shop lately because they have allowed me to go in without a mask. And so I'm in there. The guy tries to give me a mask at the door. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't wear masks. And I just go in, and then he must have told the manager, the assistant manager came over to me while I was, you know, just coming out of the organic vegetable section. And she said, you have to wear a mask. And I'm like, no, I don't wear a mask. And she goes, well, it's the law. And I said, no, it's not the law. It's a mandate. It's not a law. And also, I am not wearing, I don't wear a mask for health reasons. And I have a letter, if you want to see it. It's a HIPAA law that you don't have to wear a mask if it interferes with your health. And you don't have to tell them either what your health...
Well, it interferes with your breathing, so that's your health.
Yeah, I don't want hypoxia, thank you.
Right.
And so she argued with me for a while, and I just kept refuting her, and then she called her manager and asked me to be quiet because people were starting to look at, you know, watch us, and because I was just, you know, saying no. And then she called her manager, and he said, well, I guess if she has a letter, you know, it's okay. And then she said she apologized for bothering me, and I said, that's okay. It's very confusing times right now. And she said, be safe.
Be
I'm
safe.
Like, okay,
stay
you
safe.
Do. Oh, yeah. Wash your hands.
0.003. Anyway, should we pray?
Yeah.
Charles, anything else to add to this? I know you've only really spoken up one time. Just before we get going here.
No, nothing really. I think you guys are right on the mark. I really like Patrick and the things he said today.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, I mean, it basically it's just kind of filled my heart. You know, when I spoke, you know, I mentioned this on Facebook the last time we did this. I have to constantly monitor my blood pressure since my heart attack.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spoke, blood pressure shot up to 170 over 90-something, and then when Patrick came on and I was so comforted by his words, it dropped back down
to
70 points.
Nice.
You know,
thank you, Patrick.
That's awesome.
There's healing in your words.
Healing in the love. Charles, you know a good thing for the blood pressure is beets.
Beets.
Yeah.
I thought about that super beet thing they've got.
Yeah. That's probably good.
I have to be careful, though, that it doesn't interfere with some of the meds that I take.
Yeah.
I don't like taking them at all. I mean, before the show started, I had to pile like 6 or 8 pills in my mouth. I don't like that.
No.
But,
yeah,
you know,
InfoWars has a good product that I've been taking called VasoBeets, and it's a very strong beet. It's just beet extract. And it doesn't taste that good.
There's another one. There's another.
I put
one.
It in juice. So
there's another one that's a powder out there.
Yeah, they have that on
the gun advocate lady.
Right. She. I haven't tried that, but I stopped. I had a high blood pressure meds, and I just stopped taking them because I don't like. They made me cough, you know. And so I just said, no. I'll do the VasoBeets. And I won't go to the doctor if they make me wear a mask either. So I had an appointment for the blood pressure, and I just said, no, well, let me know when you don't require the masks.
That'll be never.
And so I'll just do the.
No, I don't want to speak that over it. That'll be never. But I just, you know.
They're trying to set that
you
up.
Understand what we're dealing with, right? We all know what's going on. It has nothing to do with COVID-19. It has everything to do with
control.
Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 is really what's going on. And they've been planning this for decades and generations. And, you know, this is all a rollout of a plan. 10 years ago, they had the Rockefeller paper, which laid it out perfectly.
Yeah.
We had Event 201. We had Gates telling us he's going to have a pandemic for us. And then he brought it a month later. And,
yeah.
So, you know, the evidence is there. Why humanity won't stand up against these bullies?
I think we will.
It's a great mystery. Is that like what Govinda was saying, that, you know, 3,000 soldiers kept 1 billion Indians down in pretty much locked down under British rule.
Yeah.
3,000 troops. And the same thing here. We don't even have that here. We have like 300 million, you know, 350 million Americans, and they won't fight back. It's amazing.
When you had somebody like Gandhi who just said, you know what, I'm just going to make a handful of salt and I'm just going to walk the ocean and go do it. And that just shut the whole thing down. Those acts of along the way that they couldn't deal with. See, as long as there's compliance and as long as there's a willingness to give yourself over to the to tyrannical authority, they can continue to do what they do. As soon as people start to wake up and start to act, see, that's the key. It's not just the knowledge. You need to do something with that knowledge.
Yeah.
Once you do something with knowledge, I mean, just us being on this show today, we're doing something. You know, just an act, when you begin to do and take action in any particular direction, that's what changes things. Mm-hmm. So, like you speak about John MacArthur, them getting together, they can think whatever they want, but the fact that they get together now on a Sunday and share the word and get together and pray for one another, just that act in and of itself, mm-hmm. it throws everything up, because now all of a sudden you've got thousands of people getting together, nobody's getting sick, no super spreaders, no, all the other narratives are falling apart.
Yeah. And they're singing and, you know, defying the laws. Defying rules, not a law.
Do you know that, Govinda, I just got to tell you one.
That's not based in science. Yeah.
And one thing with CNN said, and this is hard to believe that we've reached this level of stupidity in our society, but they actually said with a straight face that there is no spread from the either BLM or Antifa riots at all, but there is a spread with any kind of Trump rally. And I'm like, you know, and then they mentioned South Dakota, the Sturgis meet, where there was no spread whatsoever, and they made up this number, because see, what they're doing is all the testing they do is positive. You know, it's all false positives. And they do this on purpose, so they can say, you see that, and then, but you know, people test positive on these tests, which is bogus, and then they say, oh, look at that real spike, when there's no spike and no death and no hospitalizations. And Sturgis, there was no spread, no spike, no hospitalizations, nothing.
Even from the beginning.
But they tell people, but if you go riot,
remember the whole,
you'll be safe. They're telling people, get out and protest, because you'll be safe. And the fact that people believe it.
Remember the whole flatten the curve thing? It was going to be 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was going to flatten the curve. Oh, that was the big rallying cry. And it was like, because we don't want to overrun the hospitals, right? And the hospitals were never overrun. And Trump, you know, jumped into gear and got all this stuff going on. And they didn't need any of it. They didn't need any of it. Remember the boats?
Remember the field hospitals?
The ships?
The ventilators? All this stuff. And it was all a ruse. It was all a big lie.
My
hope
is,
didn't need any hospital. Didn't need any ships. Didn't need any ventilators, really. We give them away now. We don't even sell them. We just give them away to people in other countries because they want ventilators. It is the biggest scam of all time. And it also shows the people at, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. You know, the people of the United States, the people of Europe, the people, you know, people that we know, going along. It is the sickest, most, it's that, that's what's the most frightening, is seeing the people go along. But here's where we win, okay? We win in, you know, obviously in Christ. We win in prayer. Mm-hmm. We win in the Spirit. And we're smart in the Spirit. We know, you know, all the reporting that I did on the Zerf Report was based on not news, because they were telling me it was this and that. I didn't believe any of it. I got interpretation through the Spirit. And everything that I said along the way turned out to be 100% true, at least so far. Maybe there's a couple things that weren't completely 100%, but like 90% of everything I said, let's say, so I'm safe, was pretty much 100% dead on in terms of the spread, the intentionality, the development in the lab, the connection to Gates, the connection to Fauci, the bad people surrounding the president, the WHO, the American left, really a front for the globalist Communist Party. The people who sold out to be, you know, big athletes and movie stars and singers and all that, the fact that they all took a pact to be owned and operated by the globalist communists, all that stuff, you know, turned out to be true. Which, you know, and I used to report on this years ago, but there was no proof, really. Now people are saying to me, you know, Zeph, that was spot on, because I now see it for myself. What you said, you're vindicated again, because what you said now, everybody can see. And that's the greatest gift you could give to people, is that everybody can see. So now we are on the precipice of the greatest awakening, spiritual awakening, since the beginning of life upon the earth. Those people that have launched all this on us, this draconian thing trying to bring us back to the 1930s, they forget this is not that time again. They have sparked the greatest awakening and the greatest spiritual power of all time, which will be used against them. They have really, in a sense, engineered their own deaths. Yeah. They have engineered their own demise. They have done what Proverbs 1 said. They lay wait for their own blood, because we've all awakened. And look at what's happening. Look at how these churches are. If MacArthur's church is any indication, maybe they can all be cleaned up. You know what I mean? Kick those Masons out of there. Kick those Satanists out of there. Kick those pedophiles out of there. Let the church be the church again. You know, let us all join together, as Patrick was saying, you know, in love. You know, we're all brothers. We're all sisters. We're all have a lot in common. These people that are doing this are a very small minority, almost nothing. And they have brought upon themselves the whirlwind. They have brought the wrath of God on their heads. And not scared about anything going forward. I already see, you know, that God's got this. And that's why I feel so positive about it. People, why are you so positive about the future with all this stuff going on? It's because we're experiencing the greatest spiritual awakening of all time. This is what I've been living for my whole life. This time right now. This is what I've been waiting to see. Do you think I like being surrounded with spiritual idiots that are just dead in the spirit, that don't even know what you're talking about? No, I like having conversations with brothers and sisters, because we're all brothers and sisters in the spirit, having a physical experience, but we're really spirit beings. That's what we really are. And we're in a physical manifestation, but I mean, that's not our true nature. Our true nature is eternal spirit. You know, the great I am. You know, that's our true nature. True sons and and daughters of the Most High God. And because we have that connection to spirit, we have, you know, the knowledge of everything that's going on. I mean, I've been reporting for years and years about, you know, like the whole, you know, pedophile networks that run the world and all this. Now all of a sudden you're seeing all that out. We're not even talking about human trafficking. Human trafficking busts right now are the highest they've ever been.
Praise the Lord.
The most people getting busted for this pedophilia, pornography, child pornography, transportation. Really, the worst thing is snatch and grab kids that are being trafficked around the world. But we're having, we never knew how vast it was, but we're having total success. Because why? Because everyone's aware of it now. We're on the lookout for it. People are putting it up on YouTube. They just saw a thing where a kid got grabbed in a. They were a couple having lunch. They had their kid there with them, you know, having lunch at a fast food place. And these two grown men come by and snatch the kid. The kid was about maybe 5 years old. And they grabbed the kid, and they fought to get the kid back. They succeeded, but they almost got the kid snatched away right in broad daylight, right there, right there in a mall.
Having food.
They were just having food, yeah. And they tried to grab this kid, and they... The parents fought back and got the kid back, but it was just like, had they run away with that kid, they had a van standing by, and that would have been that. So I've also seen people get, like, grown women, a YouTube of a grown woman that was captured on somebody's phone, get grabbed right at the sidewalk and thrown into a car and subdued and driven away. This is going on, but... we're all aware of it now. Mm-hmm. So I believe that human trafficking, I mean, you know, it's a two-pronged thing. Part of it is the demand out there, which is obviously there's a lot of perverted people. And, you know, the greatest things we face are the cruelties done by these big cults of celebrities that get involved with adrenochrome and torturing of children and raping babies and stuff, which is just, it's not, no one even wants to
disgusting.
Think about that. Nobody even wants to think about that they're that far gone. But we have the greatest chance in the world right now of ending that sort of thing.
Yep.
When this awareness comes to complete fruition, there won't be any of that. you know, devil worshipping, blood drinking cults that are just, you know, drinking, you know, trading children. You have to understand that the religion of the world, the old Satanism, the old dragon, is all about children. You know, so that's why there's that emphasis. Anyway, back to the panel.
Yeah.
Anything else before we start?
Hey, Govinda, did you want to talk a little bit about the thing that's going on at the university?
Yeah.
So let's we're continuing to focus on that. We'll continue on with that thought of just solutions. So yeah, the demand needs to be addressed for sure. The supply side dynamics need to be addressed. So there's a lot of things that have come up as we've gone on, and we can get on into all these things in time too. But you know, economy, energy, currency, access to financial services, functional legal systems, eliminating demand, and then also just like everything being brought into the light. All of these are part of a solution, and all of these things though too. They're coming up into everybody's thought process at this point. So now, along those same lines, a couple of things I just wanted to make everybody aware of here if you're listening in today. So my mother, God bless her, has been a long time working with human trafficking, and she's been a professor at the University of Nebraska for a number of years. And and she was actually the person that brought together the first research conference in the country on counter human trafficking, where researchers from around the world were able to bring in their quantitative and qualitative research, their papers, the different things that they've been working on, and be able to have a place to present, publish, share, and bring these things together with other people working in those fields, and to get it out for nonprofits that are working in the sector, for governments, for good people in governments that are trying to do something about it, for the businesses that are trying to figure out how they can actively engage. So all of that has been something that has grown. Now, they've been doing this conference for over a decade, and this year, because of the whole situation going on globally, this year the conference is actually going to be live streamed and it's going to be globally available, and it's going to be free. It's a virtual summit. So basically what's happening is on October 1st it starts. It's going to go for the entire month of October, and every 3 days there's going to be new speakers and information that's going to be coming out. So the entire month of October there's going to be people that are very involved, very engaged in this field. And this is not, these are not people that have some, you know, this is not opinions. These are people that this is what they do. They work on this. They research this. They bring it out. And so it's going to be for people that really want to get good information to help you to also know what's going on, where are things going on, what are some of the things that can be done, what is the understanding in the field, all of that kind of stuff that's there, that is going to be available to you. So there should be a link in the show notes today where you can see just that's going to be kind of your gateway to from October onwards to basically if you want to plug into this and you want to hear and you want to access information, it's going to be there for you. So, you know, you've got a free ticket to a whole month worth of very useful and informative information from around the world, very good speakers and people that will be able to give you things that will help you if you're trying to...
Is your mom moderating it?
She's a speaker. She is going to be one of the speakers. I mean, she's very much involved behind the getting everything organized, but right. As far as the official panel goes, so there's people, you know, that have been involved, practitioners in as far as people that are working on the solving the problem. You've got attorney generals, you've got you know, people that have survived human trafficking and come out, and they speak about their experiences and they speak about the things that are there. That those are very strong people. So there's a lot. historically that have been.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had her on that one time. We had her on that one time.
Yeah.
It was really a blessing. We should try to get her on here again, both of you.
Yeah, yeah. I think October 1st, if you guys are listening today, October 1st, that entire month, every 3 days, there's going to be new speakers and new information. And just click the note and just kind of make a note of it. And, you know, just gather what you can from what looks interesting in your particular area that you would like to know more. Share the information. Use the resources that are there, because there's a lot. Now, you know, I think as time has gone on, too, this has gotten much more involved, much more engaged, much more proactive. Mm-hmm. This is actually something that now is becoming available to everybody.
And there's some documentaries that are going to be presented. The price is free, a couple others that are, about the whole.
How about that guy? That guy was from South America, the Jaco Boyens or whatever his name is.
Yeah, his is not on here, but there's several. It's the University of Nebraska Lincoln's Forsyth Family Program on Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs, HRHA.
All right.
So that's going to be a great solutions-based...
This topic has really gone mainstream over the last 5 years.
There's actually degrees now that they're offering at some universities in this, just for people that are studying it and then going out and becoming people that work in this field. I also want to mention, too, for people that don't know, Zeph, you've got your movie coming out, and I just want to mention that I've seen the trailer of it. And I think, too, it's an amazing production. But just the fact, too, that you've brought in this issue of human trafficking as an undercurrent, using the creative space and that particular genre of horror to bring certain things out that probably people would not even...
I think the trauma-based mind control techniques, but then it's also an entertainment. It's not a documentary.
It's not a documentary, but it does bring up the flavor of human trafficking.
It may even trigger people because there's sex in it and stuff, which is neither here nor there for me.
Yeah,
some people.
One thing that we also need to also allow for is different ways of, one, bringing it out into the conversation, two, people's the potential solutions. So in that regard, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that sit through a documentary, but they might sit through something that's entertaining and jogs them in a particular
way.
That opens them up to the...
Yeah.
This definitely has...
So I think...
It has all those kind of issues of... aspects of Satanism and, programming, programming, abducting people and then programming them to be prostitutes. That's what they do. This is a really kind of exaggerated example of that, but it's definitely has those kind of bones. I guess you call it structure or bones. It's got those bones in it that people, it's like, oh, yeah, human trafficking. Oh, yeah, they do, so it kind of gets...
The pandemic has kind of slowed us down on the post-production of the film. We're almost done, though. Almost.
We had one more little thing with visual effects I don't even want to say what it is. It's so funny, though. I wish I could share it here, but it would ruin the whole thing today. Yeah. But it's so classically funny.
Hilarious.
A few more days with that, maybe Thursday or so, we'll get our ProRes done, and then at that point...
And we did get a sales
we're already selling. Company. We're already pre-selling now. So, I mean, we're pre-positioning, but, they need the finished film to actually put it on Amazon or wherever they're going to go with it, however it's going to manifest. What we're looking for is we're hoping that the theater opens up, and we're hoping... the director, the great visionary Larry Wade Carroll, the director, he loves taking it out on the road. So he wants to get out and screen it.
Hopefully this pandemic will away.
He could come to Nebraska with it.
Be exposed. I really want it just to be, it is exposed, but you wouldn't know that by watching the news.
So that's what people have asked me that in the chat room too, about when will it be available. And the thing is we're We have to finish it first, and I have got one more tweak on sound, which is just because we did visual effects that have taken a long time because we're doing our effects in Greece and Spain, and we're over here. So you see what I mean? And that's because if we didn't have the COVID thing, our director would have flown to Barcelona and he'd be right there. Why are we doing it with these guys? Because they love the film and they've done
it. And they're really good.
They're artists. You know, I'm not going to say anything negative about the United States, but I'm just, you know, you get a superior level of artistry in Europe, and I don't know why that is. It just happens to be true for what we're doing, so it works for us. But they're slow, and we've had to communicate, like, you know, we've had to use the internet to communicate, and we've had, just to give you an idea, I'll just give you one staggering statistic, okay? The film itself, right now, before just, you know, finishing it and getting that ProRes and the DCP, okay, the film right now, 27 terabytes. If you can believe that. 27, Govinda, you know how big that is, 27 terabytes?
Yeah, no, 27 terabytes. So yeah, so you're talking, no, that's a lot.
No, it takes a while to send, you know, back and forth from Europe.
You know, I bought a G-RAID drive. It's 28 terabytes. They're expensive. We had to put it on there and send it over. That's now, of course, when we make the we make a DVD or something. Oh, I'm just saying, when you make the elements, like, it'll be normal. You know what I mean? But it's just, that's what it's gotten to with the VFX and with, you know, with all the different layers and aspects and, you know, all the different components. And then, you know, this next week or two, we put it all together and then we deliver it to our sales agent who continues to, he just got back from Toronto or the Toronto film market, and he's going to have an update for us. So once I know something, I don't know, I'm not on the front lines selling it, but I'm just happy that we have somebody, a great company that's out there. Hopefully they'll be successful in getting something here domestically so we could be able to tell you guys, hey, tune in, blah, 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 at some certain point in time.
Yeah, best case scenario is that the whole plandemic thing gets exposed and dropped.
And we need to
scrubbed from our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get movie theaters open again.
Well, we wanted to go do film festivals, a couple of them anyway, to introduce, you know, to find our audience, because that's a good way to do it. You know, we go bypass the industry and you go directly to the people, and then they love it because they're fans, and we love it because we want to show it to them, we want to entertain them, and then we want to have a Q&A with the good old, you know, Larry the director being able to answer these questions that why he did this and that. I have no idea how he came up with the strategy for directing, but already people have been recognizing him for direction already. And the last thing he did, he got a comparison to David Lynch. So it's like, it's pretty cool. He's right on the cusp of some great thing with that. And we're just so happy we met him and we're able to work with him.
Great brother.
He's also da-da-da-da-da, brother in Christ.
Amen.
We pray every day together.
Yeah.
We do. We're having, getting through this thing, like, you know, like we had to do a lot of it ourselves and stuff. We needed to rely on the Lord. I mean, it is constantly. I don't want this process to age us or to hurt us or to be bitter or to be, you know what I mean, you know, from battle scars and everything. And we just feel like, I think right now I just feel great. I feel like, you know, I mean, I used to kind of have a feeling of oppression, like, will we get through this next thing, or will we be able to conquer this, or, you know, problems come up. And, you know, the Lord has been our only source, and he seems to have brought us through this whole thing, because it's any number of times.
And it was about a year ago that we were shooting it. It was just a year ago.
Just a year ago.
And
right.
Some of the challenges on the set and all the things that were coming up.
Yeah,
and
but we can't. No, next
and
time.
We really prayed. I mean, we prayed all the time.
Well, no, we're not, you know, the next thing it's not going to take that long. This is, again, the COVID thing probably slowed us down 3 months.
At least.
And then we made a couple of mistakes that slowed us down. I mean, you know, we're not perfect. We made some mistakes, but those are all corrected, you know, in the final product. But I mean, it's just, we lost time. We had to, you know, fire, so, not fire, but we had to move from someone to someone else. And so, you know, it cost time. We've spent 2 months over here. We weren't getting what we needed, so we had to go over there. And then, so that was 2 months. So, you know, I would tell people, well, we'll be out in May. Of course, yeah. I'm
May,
sorry.
May, June, July,
well,
August,
we'll be
September.
Out in June. We'll be out in August.
Hopefully October. Yeah.
But
sure.
next time, we've learned a lot, and the next time we're not going to do things. I'll just say as a producer, I'm not going to do things the same way. This was completely done on a smartphone. I mean, my producing was all done. We used to have offices. You know, there'd be an accountant there and a secretary, and now it was just my smartphone and me. I mean, you know, I remember having to, I'm steering the conversation wrong here, but I remember one time, you know, they took we had a sheriff's car, they took it away, and we're supposed to shoot it, and I ran down to and I said, well, so we kind of rewrote the scene to be, well, this is the boss hog, the sheriff, he's got the sheriff's car, plus he's really rich because he's the big drug dealer, he's the big trafficker, you know. So I said, so he's got to have an Escalade. You know, this is like rewriting on the spot. Couldn't get another sheriff's car. Went down to the airport in Austin, got myself an Escalade. You know what I mean? I gave it to Larry, and then Larry went out like 4 in the morning and started shooting it with a little crew that he grabbed that were staying in the hotel. And, I mean, it was complete. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed. But had I not been there with my phone and with some ability with my, you know, we were staying there in an RV and I had a Jeep and I was able to get over to the airport and get that thing. And then it became kind of central to the sheriff's character that, yeah, he's the boss hog. He's the, you know, it all worked just, you know, perfectly. But it, again, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have to do what I did. You want to, but good thing I was there.
Good thing you were there too when we replaced the cinematographer.
We lost our DP. Yeah, we lost our DP.
We
were in a storm. We were in a tropical depression. We lost the DP. Had to get another guy here from Spain. The production manager couldn't do it. She just kept. And I said, move over. I sat down with my phone again, and I got him a ticket from Barcelona to Houston. And by way of Atlanta, so pretty quick flight. And he came, and, you know, I didn't know what kind of attitude he had. I said, gee,
such a blessing.
If I made that flight, I'd be pretty tired. He arrived, and on day one, he was full-on work, you know, day and a half.
Awesome DP.
He worked time and a half, overtime, too. He worked the whole, he was like, he had, it's like almost he had this great sleep. He became our great friend in Spain, and we've been doing the post with him, too, and it's been a real, I've said a couple things here that maybe, I know they're funny, but at the time they weren't funny. Do you know what I mean? It's like the whole film could have been shut down. That was it. It's over because we lost a DP. You know, you don't lose your photographer and then that's a great day. You know what I mean? You lose your photographer, usually the whole thing's shut down. Okay, so. Okay, I confessed. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect, but I did run the show off the phone. Can you believe that? Can you believe what day and age this is? You run it off the phone is, where's your office? My phone. And, gosh, that was some funny, next time none of us want to do this again.
Overcome
like
our stories.
But we want to, you know, the idea is to prepare so nothing like that ever happens. But you just can't foresee it. I said, let's look at the good news. You know, the good news is we prayed the whole time. The Lord parted the skies. He stopped the rain. Got us a good DP.
That was amazing. The guys were, the grips were setting up this big crane shot outside. And it was raining so hard. It was like, it was a tropical depression.
And then they were going to bring the camera gear in.
And then all those hours were going to be wasted because of the rain wouldn't stop.
We're already behind.
So me and Larry and Zeph stood there in the yard praying, and right then the Lord just parted the skies.
The skies parted. He said, leave the gear where it is, and the shot happened, even though we were still about 2 days behind by that time. So we had to make up 2 days. And by the time we got done shooting, we had far more than we needed. It was amazing. It was like, well, how did we get that much stuff shot in that period of time? But we got, you know, so we were able to, that means we could hone it in editing, get it down to the best things. And then when the DVD comes out, there's some scenes I missed that had to be, you know, cut for the audience, you know, for the entertainment value. But then now I want to put a DVD out that will have those, because I think there will be fans of this. So I think I want to put one out that has the lost scenes. You know what I mean? Because those are, there's a classic.
Yeah,
there's a classic one that they had to go, but I'd like to have that DVD. It'll be like a Blu-ray probably.
Where it mentions 911.
And have the extended version, because I think there'll be people that will want to see that. I mean, I do. Yeah. I'd like to see it, you know, personally. But you have to do what you have to do to for the audience and for the commercial aspect. And I'm, you know, and you know, to please ourselves too. I mean, look at the film one way as a, you know, like, am I looking at my watch? Do I have to go to the bathroom? Am I going to move? Do I need to take a phone call? You know what I mean? Versus what's going to keep them glued in the seat. So you have.
But this is really exciting about this University of Nebraska Lincoln Forsyth Family Program on Human Rights. Govinda, thanks for bringing that to our attention. It's like the whole month of October. Every 3 days, they're going to have new information, new speakers, and people can tune in online.
Amen. And
you've got information there that's going to be useful for you. And we're in an incredible time. I mean, we've continued to everybody that's here, you're up and you've been listening and you're about to pray with us. It's you've been part of this, and it's just doing something, mm-hmm. taking action within the area that you can. That's all you need to do. You do the part that you can. We do what we can, where we can, when we can. That's it. And you do that, and then the rest will be what it is.
And Sriyani is the initiative chair, Govinda's mother, Sriyani Tidball.
It's Sriyani, yeah. She was on the show before.
Yeah.
She's part of the contact information on the whole program.
Yeah, you've got really nice parents, Govinda. They're great. Take care of them. Take care of them.
Yes, blessed.
Yeah, because, you know, I think I'm the same age as your dad, you know. And so, you know, time marches on, right, Charles? It just marches on, whether we like it or not. It's okay.
Amen.
It's all right. You got your pond going this year with the...
Yeah, I like your pond video you got.
Yeah,
going.
The pond video. We, you know, please go see Charles. He's Kanita's Ramble. He's got a pond video on YouTube where he talks about, you know, how he put the pond together, and you know, and it's just really cool. It made me want to put a pond out here or do some more water stuff. But we'll have to wait till the winter passes. But anyway, okay, shall we pray, gentlemen and Trish, and
okay, Heavenly Father, we're just grateful, Father, this day. We come before you right now, Father, in Jesus' name, in the name that's above every other name. Father, we just come before you as your children. We come before you as the source of all life, our Creator, the one that gave us life and breath and allowed us to be here and to be conscious in this paradigm, in this, at such a time as this, for your plan and for your purpose. And Heavenly Father, we, as we come before you this day, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, across this world, across this planet, at such a time as this, to boldly come before the throne of grace and to petition you and to join together with one another in faith, and taking action in accordance with your revealed will, which is that the works of the devil would be destroyed and that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. You came to set the captives free. So we just are grateful for that. We come before your throne in accordance with that. And we ask you, Father, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. Father, that life and truth would come upon this planet in the most incredible way, and Father, that you would just move out and push out and remove the darkness, remove the foothold the enemy has. Father, we pray, and specifically about the issue of human trafficking, about this issue of modern-day slavery. in all the different forms that it's in, whether it's the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking, the organ trafficking, the illegal adoption, the unsafe migration, the child soldiers, the different ways that people are enslaved across this world. Father, we ask the Lord that you would bring an end to this system, and that you would bring an end to this issue, that you would bring an end to this thing that is going on in this place that we've seen, and we bring it before you, and we ask, Father, that this would be dealt with. Father, you have the solutions for this, and so we ask that those solutions would be brought forward, that you would bring forward and birth into the minds of people all around the world solutions, that they would come out and they would be implemented, that they wouldn't just sit as ideas in people's minds, but they would be implemented in mass around the world. Father, we are asking for solutions for economy, solutions for energy, solutions for currency, solutions for access to financial services, solutions for a functional legal system, solutions that eliminate the demand for trafficking, the solutions that eliminate the supply side factors for trafficking, mm-hmm. solutions that bring light into everything, where people no longer want to be part of this dark because all is being brought into the light. Father, we're asking that you would unleash at this time a tidal wave of solutions around the world, at the same time that you upend the darkness and that you upend the workers of the enemy, you upend the workers of the devil, you upend all of these things that they thought they had, and they thought they had these things on lock. We ask that you would overturn all of it with the light and with the truth. And when things settle, let them settle in a way that is good for your creation, in a way that brings joy to people's lives, in a way that the everyday person has a better future to look forward to, that nobody has to be enslaved around this world, and that people have choices and options and a future to look forward to. Father, we ask that all of these controllers and these evil people around the world that have partnered with the devil and have partnered with demonic forces, that have partnered with lizard forces and that which is against the truth and the light and your plan and your purpose. We ask, Father, that all of those people would be stripped of their power, stripped of their position, stripped of their influence, stripped of their ability to do and act on humanity. And instead, Father, that you would raise up new ways that changes everything for the good. So, yeah. Father, we were asking in this year, though we know, Father, that time is nothing for you. So we're asking, Father, in this year of 2020, that you would make these changes, and that as we come into these last 2020, that everything will be changed, that you will liberate your people around the world, and your humanity and your humans that are on this planet can go forward as free human beings and your free creation as your design. We ask for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you. And Lord, I agree with my brother Govinda's prayer, Lord, that you will unlock your spirit upon people. You will unlock, Lord, the love that you brought upon people. Lord, and I pray today for love. I pray that people will be filled with your love. People will be filled with the passion that you gave them every day to walk with you in Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, for people that don't know you, Lord, that are seeking after you, or even people that are not seeking but that don't know you, I pray that you change their heart. You pray that, Lord, they will, Father God, become, Lord, everything you call them to be. They will accept you, Lord. They will accept you, Jesus, in their life. They will pray the prayer of sinners, Father God, and they will come to you, literally come to you and flock to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the people that are listening now, and that they'll be listening in a month or in a year or in 10 years, wherever, that, Lord, that they will know and remember that Jesus Christ, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
That you died on the cross for our sins, And because of that, we are free. We're not in debt anymore. Lord, we are free and not in debt. And that's what I pray today, Lord. All these people that are part or locked into a system of human trafficking, Lord, that those chains may be broken in the name of Jesus. That those chains be broken, Father God, right now. That, Lord, the physical chains, but the mental chains also, the spiritual chains be broken, and that they be free in you. Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, that you keep us showing us where you want us to go. And you keep putting the words into our mouth. And I pray for everybody on this panel, Lord, that they will speak out your name, and you will protect them and go before them. Lord, that you pour out the blood of Jesus upon us, upon the listener, Father God. And you will infuse them with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That, Lord, they be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will walk with you, Father God. Yes. They will not be afraid in this time that's coming, Lord. That, Lord, you pour out everybody that's listening, you know, on this panel with love, Father God. That people will literally vibrate in very high frequency, Father God. Lord, that, Lord, even when the enemy shows up at the door, like we talked about, like Zeph talked about, that people will be confident in you, Lord, to say, no, I'm not taking it. No, I'm not doing that.
Yes.
No, because I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, that's giving me the strength to walk and to be free, and not to be something else, but to be free. We are free indeed, right. Father God.
Right.
That they will see your hand, Lord, just move. Lord, that in this time of lockdowns or things like this, that the believers, all the believers will rise up, and people will see miracles, Father God. People will perform miracles in your name. Not in their own name, but in your name, Father God. People will be free. People will, people will cast out demons. Out of one that are possessed, Father God, and chains will be broken. May, Lord, as much as you're showing us evil right now, Lord, show us your hand. Show us your hand moving in a mighty way. In a mighty way, Lord. Amen. For the people, Lord, that are sick, that are mentally challenged, that people that are in oppression, Father God, that, Lord, they will be free. Free indeed in your name. Lord, move us, move the people that you love, move the people that trust in you, Father God. Just like those two teeth on the cross, Father God, I pray that people will turn to you. They will turn to you, Lord, at this time. Lord, I thank you, and I pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name again. Amen.
Amen. I thank you, Father, for this morning, for this time when we can come together as brethren and speak the truth, encourage each other, strengthen us in our hearts for this fight that lies before us, that is all around us. My Father, we stand because you stand. Help us to stand against this evil that is ruling our world. Help us to stand this slavery in all of its various forms. Protect your children, my Father. You have said in your word that you will be to us a wall of fire all around, and that you will be the glory in our midst. Oh, my Father, bring your fire, bring your glory. Help us to stand, Father, against this evil that has so infested our world. Help us, Father, to be the light that you have made us to be. Help us to be the salt that will bring the savor back into your world. Oh, my Father, we come before you this day, pleading this case in the name of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for this platform, 20
2020. Father, that you gave us, you are the greatest, our Father. Father, when we go in Dalit area, Father, where the people are hungry, where the people are waiting for food, where are some different diseases in these camps, Father, and in Dalit people, they are untouched. Nobody can touch them. Even the doctor, when they go to the doctor, even doctor only see them and give them medicine. Father, when me and Violet, Father, will see the discondition of the human beings, Father, I cry more of my life, Father, to see them, Father. Father, come soon. We are waiting for you. Because the people on the earth are so in a miserable condition. They are crying to you. They want to see you, Father.
Please, Lord.
Father, when we go there, Father, when we distribute the food, Father, they receive a hope, Father. But I think that I am doing nothing, Father, for them, Father. Because your plan is so above. I believe that this mafia, these people, just the mafia Satan is just spreading everywhere chaos and disturbance and poverty and inflation, everything there, even the stainless and the fall. I want to see you. Come, Father, come.
Please,
and when this team, 2020 team is here, Father, and they are praying, Father, we are doing here practically, Father, we see the condition of these peoples. And I believe that you will give a comfort to them, Father.
Please, Lord.
I always think that our life is so short, the problems are big, Father. But I believe that you are the victorious. You always get a victory, Father, yes. On all purposes, Father. You just save us from every yes. problem, Father. I believe that you will solve everything, Father. And Father, also bless the kids, LTO kids, Father. Bless the Violet, me and our whole team. Father, also I pray for my volunteer, Harris, who just fell with a heart attack in that area, Father, in Dalit area, Father, and who is in now in the cardiac hospital, Father. Please, Father, we pray for him. For that volunteer, please
heal him, Lord.
Give them new life, because he is working for you, Father. And this is a great temptation for that family, Father. Relax them. He will come home with a good health, Father. Bless everyone, Father, who are listening in this time. Bless the USA, bless Pakistan, Sri Lanka, even all over the world, your blessing come, Father. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together this morning and giving us this time to reflect and what you're doing, Lord, and pray for each other and pray for the world. Pray for the healings. Pray for the food, for the children, for the blessings of everyone, the freedom in love, your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask, here in the United States, Lord, we have some amazing opportunities with the death of Justice Bader Ginsburg, that we could put someone on the Supreme Court that would be a godly person, that would be a person who would follow the Constitution, and this could help set the conditions in this country up much better, Lord. We ask for your guidance of President Trump as he goes forward to nominate the exact right person for this, and that he would nominate somebody who would bring more awareness and combating the human trafficking and modern-day slavery that is throughout not only the United States but all around the world, and in Pakistan, everywhere. Lord, we're so grateful that Brother John and Violet have this unction to feed the starving in Pakistan during this terrible pandemic. Lord, we ask you to lift the pandemic off of us, the control that they are trying to instill upon the entire world, and they want to ruin the third world countries, and they want to ruin the Western countries. They want to have control over all of us, Lord. I ask you to lift that off of us, the whole thing, and expose it for what it is, that everyone would know, and that it wouldn't be a mystery. The truth of the matter, right in front of everyone's face. Lord, we ask you to just lift the whole control aspect off of this pandemic, off of the United States, and off of the entire world, Lord. And we ask that you would guide President Trump in his, and protect him, Lord. That he just had another assassination attempt on him. He was being sent a terrible poison, ricin. And that was intercepted. Lord, we ask you to continue to protect President Trump, because he is, seems to me, sent by you to restore things around here and to restore order. And at this time when we have so much disorder and we see who is manipulating everyone to have this hatred towards each other, Lord, like Patrick said, that is not correct. Love is the answer. And we just ask you, Lord, bring the awareness. We thank you that Sriani and others have put together this human rights, the human trafficking awareness and solutions and bringing people up into ways that they can help to stop. We want it this year. 2020 is the year we plan on having you bring this to an end, Lord. 2020, this is coming now, that everyone will stop dealing with these evil things of human trafficking and these evil things of slavery and these evil things of mind control, having people not even know what to think because what they saw on television or something like that. Lord, we ask you to bring an awareness for all people to be aware of what is going on and put a stop to the evil in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen in Jesus' name.
In the name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us together once again and for the 20 on 20, and we ask that you end human trafficking, modern-day slavery, and the vast pedophile networks who are trying to legalize pedophilia now and who are in California already legalizing it and have legalized it now. We ask for you to reverse those decisions of these sick, evil, pervert judges that want to eventually have access to, obviously, to toddlers and babies for adults. It's pure sickness, it's pure Satanism, and Lord, we just ask you to put an end to it, because we, all your people, are beseeching you, praying to stop this, to stop them in California, to stop them everywhere, to stop the entertainment business from pushing pedophilia, creating more and more demand for people buying these child prostitutes, please, Lord. And all the children that are missing. Millions and millions per year are abducted and put into slavery, into sex slavery, Lord. We ask you to put an end to it now, and an end to the people doing it now. In Jesus' name, we ask this now. And then we also pray for our brother Violet, sister Violet, and brother John, to help them stave the tide of the help in Pakistan, to help stop the starvation that's going on all over the third world because of the people who locked us down.
Yes.
Because of them, your people are starving, Lord. Because of them, the world is suffering. Because of them, we have a lockdown. Not because of any disease, Lord. Not because they want to help, but because they want to destroy us and hurt us.
Yes.
And that is what we are crying out to you to put a stop to it today. Yes. Now. Now. Lord, stop this suffering now. Now. And I also ask to quell the riots, to protect Trump from assassination. Obviously, yes, there's a, Lord, there's a attempts every single day now on his life.
Yeah.
By people that think politics is the way to solve the world's problems. And that, of course, is a joke. Lord, we ask you to bring the awareness of people up, bring their intelligence back up to a normal level so they understand that the only way to peace is through the spirit and not through the flesh. My God. Lord, we're going backwards at a clip that's unbelievable. At the same time, we see an awakening. We pray for this awakening to take over the whole world, and that the whole world would embrace you, Lord. The whole world would pay attention to you now. The whole world would cry out to you for a solution. We cannot watch this any further. We cannot stand this another day. We can't stand this torture another day. We can't stand being tortured another day. We can't stand our children being tortured and subjected to being commodities. We can't stand the starvation and the illnesses around the world. We can't stand the fact that a few people, just a handful of people, have put us all into bondage and prison. Lord, please let us go from this prison. And please punish the evildoers who have done this. Please give the people courage to stand up and rebel. Rebel. To rebel in your name, Lord. To rebel because of you, Lord. To rebel because you've made us free. To rebel because that is the right thing to do for humanity. It's the right thing to do to prove our faith in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, you...
Violet, you want to chime in?
Violet?
Yes.
Come on.
This is my buddy.
Would you like to say something?
Sad.
Today I'm very sad.
Yeah.
Father Harris. Yes. My volunteer people, Ben. He is very severe condition. In this critical hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please heal him, Lord.
So please pray. We are also worried.
Let's pray for him then as we close. Father, we just lift up right now this volunteer at LTO that Violet has brought up. And Father, we together right now, all of us come together, and in faith, we just speak healing and wellness, and that he would be raised up in this very moment right now. As we speak and as we pray and as we go forward, we, in Jesus' name, raise him up and just restore him to complete and total health and wellness in his body right now, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Right now.
And total restoration in his body right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name. Father, all of these prayers that we pray, Father, we pray them, and we know that you hear us and that you quicken us and that you have quickened us within, and you connect us without to do your will and to accomplish your plan and purpose. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just seal all of these things and we go forward in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
LTO.
Amen. Praise God.
Little Treasure Orphanage.
Amen. Amen.
Right now, you better help them out. Look, Little Treasure Orphanage is Little treasure-orphanage.com. And you can go to their website and you can, you know, pitch in there because they really need it. And anything you can do to help them goes directly to starving children and keeps people from dying.
Starving adults.
I hate to, it's starving adults, starving
it's
children.
It's really hard to see how many people are committing suicide in Pakistan because of starvation.
This is starvation. If you want to lay blame, you know, we have Bill Gates.
Yep.
It was his idea. They already know the third world will, hundreds of millions of people are going to die. And you know that out there, don't you, people? You know, listening to my voice here. You guys, you know this. Mm-hmm. That's the critical area in the world that needs help right now. So please do what you can, get involved, and do whatever you can for LTO because, you know, this is, they had to go to a full feeding ministry to feed the people before they die. They starve to death. This is all brought on by Bill Gates. This is brought on by your governors. This is brought on by your mayors. I don't think you're ever going to think
UN,
of them as being, you know, okay people again. You know what side they're on, and they're not on your side. They want to starve the people. They want to kill the people. They want to kill the people. They are killing people. Our own governor has killed 10,000 people here in New Mexico just from her lockdown. They don't care. They just want people to die. Now, we have a chance to help them before they die, to help them. So I just gave you the chance. Go to LTO and help them out because literally every dollar that goes to them keeps someone from dying in the street. It's just that dire. I'm sorry it's that bad. I've been pointing out to you for years who these people are. These George Soroses, these Bill and Melinda Gates. She wears an upside-down cross. I mean, she embraces death, death, and more death. That's all they're about, death. And I don't know how they got control of everything, but you got a lot of bad people here in the world, okay? A lot of bad people. A lot of people went to the devil. And you don't even know who they are. They're secret. They're secretaries. They're maids. They're accountants. They're everyday people you stand next to in the market. Yes, they went to the devil. They were weak. Sorry. And they gave in. And they gave their free will. And now they root for death. They love death. They keep it to themselves. They try to stay low key. But we know what's happened, right? We know who runs the world right now. The Lord. We ask you to return, Lord. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, please return right now and put an end to all this. The people are suffering and dying. These are innocent people, Lord, people that never meant any harm. Please, Lord, you've got to help. You've got to intercede now. Please, Lord, please intercede now. Please help them in Pakistan. Please help them in Africa. Please help them around the third world. And then please help us here to put an end, to have the courage to lock these people up before they do any more damage, Lord. Please help them to be adjudicated, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Please, we lift up this group of people for you to adjudicate them, Lord, to remove them from society, Lord, before they kill more millions of people, Lord. Please, if we could have stopped Adolf Hitler, if we could have stopped Stalin, please, Lord, please, stop these cruel murderers from murdering more people. And for the people that blaspheme, who talk them up, who have them on their talk shows, we ask for adjudication for those people too. We ask for an interruption in their lives. We ask for a stop to their lives. We ask for you to stop their forward progress so they will at least examine when they're on the side of the murderers, why they're on the side of the murderers. Mm-hmm. The sellouts, the people that sold out to death, to the death of us all, including themselves. Lord, we ask you for this awareness to come because it's ridiculous of all the things we know. We all are in agreement on this panel of everything I just said. We know the truth.
Yep.
We know they're doing this on purpose. We know the lockdown is on purpose. We know the people participating, the news media and all that, we know that they know the truth, but they're lying on purpose. We know it's all a plot, Lord. We know.
Expose the truth.
We know. Lord, we pray for the greatest awakening of all time since the beginning of of human. We pray for the total awareness, awakening, and the raising of consciousness of all people, so they would all know the truth like we do, so they would all understand what's happening here, so they would understand who the enemy is, so they would understand what's going on, and then they would be able to pray along with us to put a stop to it, Lord, to stop killing the children, stop killing the children, stop letting the children be killed, stop letting these evil people kill the children, stop them from killing the children, stop them from having sex with the children, stop them from raping the babies, stop them, yes. Lord. My God, it's all out in the news now, and people act like they don't see. Please force the people to awaken, whether they like it or not, so their eyes are full of this complete and total feeble attempt at playing like you, Lord. They're trying to be God. They want to be God, decide who lives and who dies. Lord, we just ask you to intercede, to put a stop to them. We don't hate them, Lord. We don't hate. We understand how people can fall, but now our lives are being destroyed because of them. So we ask you to protect us, Lord. Protect Pakistan, protect us, protect the people around the world, protect the children around the world that meant nobody any harm. Protect the innocent, Lord. Protect your innocent, Lord. Please protect your innocent. And in Jesus' name I pray. I didn't know I'm going to be praying again. My goodness.
Yes, Lord, in Jesus'
name. I got so much in the spirit that I just see a handful of people in a room. And that handful of people, they're people you know, the people we mentioned today, and some others, but I mean, a handful of people making the decisions of life and death on this earth, making the decision to kill off human because they, in their mind, it's just like taking the garbage out. It's amazing how cruel they are. I mean, it's beyond even belief, but they are that way. I know people that are that way, so that's how I can tell you that, yes, they do exist, and yes, they don't care about life. Yes, because they're a death. They've wedded themselves to death. Death is what turns them on. And I'm sorry, but you know you've had years out there, law enforcement, FBI. You guys are all sold out to the. You guys all serve those guys. You've had years of knowing who they are, years of being able to stop it, years of being able to stop a guy like Soros and take his property and you know take his ability to pay these people to do these things. You've had years with Gates. Foundation sits up there in Seattle. Big building.
Redfield.
Big building right there. You've had years to deal with him and his crimes. Years.
And all over the world, they know. They know, you know.
Everybody.
Here comes the Gates vaccine. Run and hide in the woods.
That's right. They know in Africa, don't they? The children, the kids in Africa, they know that when Gates comes with the vaccines, they all run and hide in the forest. They all hide. They know the vaccine kills. They know this instinctively. And the people that are doing it are worse than Adolf Hitler. You know, they're like, you know, Hitler and Himmler and, you know, they're just like the Nazis. You know, with their vaccine solution. It's very, very dire. And I believe that people waking up in mass, which they're doing, will come with a benefit. And the benefit will be to know who the evil ones are, what we need to do to save our world. Because there's plenty of people that think, yeah, we ought to depopulate the earth. So they don't care if we lose a couple billion people. To them, it's just like, you know, good policy. So I care, you know, and I don't want to see people suffer, and I don't want to see John have to pray like that, where he's just, his whole heart and soul is pouring out here, just begging God, because things have gotten so bad there in Pakistan. And so, look, there's a lot of you out there that can help.
Lift the lockdown. Lift the veils over people's eyes. Let them know the truth, Lord.
I still had people arguing with me. I mean, I'm nice. I'm not going to argue with them anymore, like on social media. But I've had people arguing with me that, you know, they just say, what's wrong with, you know, being kind to other people and wearing a mask and staying home, you know, to help other people and to be looking out for other people. Well, it's not even about that. It's got nothing to do with being kind to other people or being, you know, first of all, the mask doesn't protect against the virus. So that's the end of that argument. Okay. And then the other thing is lockdown does not stop the spread either. So that's the end of that argument. Okay, so I'm not helping other people. So I'm dealing with this ethos, this a bunch of people that think you're being selfish or you're being cruel if you don't stay home and wear a mask. And that is ridiculous.
Yeah, that woman that accosted me in the store, she said, I could personally lose my job. We could get shut down here. I could lose my job if you don't wear a mask. And I'm like, no. I told her it's not the law.
No, they can't do that.
And she was trying to guilt me into it. And here we'll bring you a mask. I go, I don't wear a mask. She finally got it, you know, after...
Govinda, I thought you were sitting next to me.
I'm not here. Yeah.
No, but I actually thought you were in that chair right there. I did.
Cool.
I thought he was in that chair. I was drifting. I got lost in the spirit. I just started blurting out stuff. You know, I've known the truth about this whole situation for many years. And,
yeah.
You know, you have too. And so has Patrick and everybody here, really.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I used to get from people that are very political or, you know, people that are very liberal and stuff, they would just laugh and they'd call me a tinfoil hat guy. They used to laugh at me. And now it's all come out. And you know what? They're not laughing anymore, are they? And you guys that said you're liberals and we're wacko, we're all brothers and sisters, you understand? I've got a lot in common with everybody.
We all do.
Yeah, I'm not telling people what to do. Yeah. I'm not moralizing about you. I'm not criticizing. You're not coming down on you. I'm not guilt-tripping you. I want to be your friend. They're using every trick in the book, every psychological operation they can think of, being run through these think tanks in the military-industrial complex, to keep us all at each other's throats. If we could just stop that, that would go a long way to getting to the solution. You know,
here's what I saw. That Ben Swan put out a report from the University of Alaska at Anchorage, where they did a four-year analysis on Building 7 for 9/11.
Yeah.
And the fourth was that basically complete, just irrefutable evidence that the structure did not come down the way that Nest said that it did.
Correct.
And that the conclusion of the matter is that it simultaneously was brought down, all of the internal structures were simultaneously just destroyed simultaneously internally, and not a result of gradual spreading fires that weaken the frame. It actually was deliberately done.
Of course.
And that the implication... But this is something that, like, back to the whole tinfoil hats, when people have just had their common sense overridden and rode roughshod over for how long after 9/11, when people had questions about that, and they brought them up, today science is on your side, today the university system is on your side, today truth is on your side. Today, this is 18 years later. What are the implications of that? Mm-hmm. See, this is why still nobody's talking about this, because what are the implications of that information now? What does that now mean about everything that transpired before and after for the 18 years since that time?
Yes.
And these are the kind of questions that people don't want to even have a conversation about.
I know.
Because that means something for that building.
Yeah, they
and it wasn't.
They can't, you know, believe their own eyes. They just have to go with the myth. And it's like, even people who are smart about other things, if you start talking about 911 and the truth behind it, they just, I really thought you were, you know, kind of a smart person, but now that I've seen you, you know, do this, I write you off.
The research is there. Everything is, the information is now in.
Yes.
If you believe that this building did not come down by a controlled demolition, then you're the conspiracy theorist.
Correct.
Because there's no other way.
Well, the Pentagon was hit with a missile. And
not a plane.
It's obvious from the, you know, the footprint of it. And it was also reported that way in the very beginning. And then they went ahead and switched the story to a plane. Well, a plane couldn't fit in that space. So, too bad.
Yeah. It's the implications of what one piece there does. It's a domino, and it just starts knocking over all these other things. Because if this, then this. If this, then this. If this, then this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people struggle to grab hold of. If this is the actual thing, then that means you don't have credible journalism out there and people actually covering and chasing the story. Now you have a controlled narrative. Then what else have you been lied to about for the last 18 years?
Everything.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and yes.
Can't deal with that.
COVID is another 9/11. COVID's another
9/11. It is. It really is.
So now, if they won't tell you the truth about 9/11 and Building 7, even though now it's taken 18 years to find, you know what? I put some stuff up on social media about that years back, and people just you know, came at me from every side. I put up that report the other day, just a couple likes here and there, but crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah.
We only have, and just notice, when the truth comes out, what you see is everybody just gets quiet. Yeah. Nobody, the guilt and all of the attacks that come against you for information before, because everybody before had their opinions. But when you actually have research, science, factual, logical information that is irrefutable, just crickets. Because you know what? People don't want the truth. A lot of people don't want the truth to their own destruction. And so even around everything that's been going on, the truth is there. It's right there.
There's people that are so... On this anniversary of 9/11, there were some people that had some pretty cute like memes going on. Like one of them was, never forget, and it had the two towers, and then Building 7, forget.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Julian Assange, he was given the info about pedophilia amongst the elites like Hillary and Podesta and all that, and he was handed those documents because it had pedophilia in it and human trafficking of children in those documents, and alluding to even darker stuff and calling, you know, kids hot dogs and pizzas and all that kind of stuff, where all that came from, handed to him by Seth Rich. And then, you know, Seth Rich paid the price. And, you know, and Julian Assange needs to be, I mean, it's gone on and on and on, pardoned because he's a hero.
Well,
but to this day,
it's recently come
they've
out.
They've had the emails
that
in Congress.
Trump has
but they never
offered him
everybody knows what the emails say, but they refuse to read them into the record. They refuse to deal with the content of the emails in Congress and what it means. That means that they are all pedophile, human trafficker, child murderer, cover-uppers, the entire Congress. Not one person entered it into the record. How cowardly.
Yes. For the record, let's discuss this, because I've seen so many different attempts to cover this up. And it's like some pizza shop here and there. And no, listen.
Pizza!
WikiLeaks 2015, there was the leak of the John Podesta emails, which and now he was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, and his information that went out, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of emails that were given, that got leaked, went into WikiLeaks archives that are there right now. You can go and search this right now. WikiLeaks right now. Look up John Podesta's emails, type in the words cheese, hot dogs, ice cream, walnuts, dominoes, a handkerchief. You can go,
exactly.
You can go right now and pull them up for yourself. Now, what has the cover-up been since that time? They tried to divert it and say it's something else. What was Pizzagate? Pizzagate was people started going through these 33,000 leaked emails, they started finding dozens of emails that didn't make sense. And as they read them through, they're like, what are these guys talking about? They're talking about pizza and hot dogs and in sentences that made no sense by the surface reading of them and communications between high-level people in D.C. and power brokers.
Including Obama.
Now, as that went forward, what happened, too, at the same time, was not too long before this went out, the FBI declassified a whole series of language used by pedophiles, language and symbolism used by pedophiles to communicate with each other. And this was done in 2013 and subsequently since then. This is part of the overt, open record that is out there. So now you take the declassified FBI language by pedophiles to communicate with each other, and you use those, you take that and you use that as a backdrop by which you put these emails that are there, and all of a sudden, right there, you see what these emails are about and what they're communicating to each other. That was what started to come out, and people started to have high-level political brokers in using pedophile communication language.
So
that was Pizzagate. Nothing more, nothing less. And
see how they're messing with them? They know what I'm talking about.
Four years later, and no prosecution, no explanation.
No prosecution.
Because, as Stanley Kubrick, the late great director, said, the world is run by pedophiles and human traffickers.
And we want to put an end to that, Lord.
800,000 kids missing a year from the United States, and nobody bats an eye.
Well, I am heartened that since Trump became president, a lot of arrests, a lot of...
That's true.
Even just this week, they really going after the gangs who are doing a lot of the trafficking. A lot of people getting arrested.
Before Trump, though, really, if you go back through Obama, Bush, Clinton, and back all the way, not one of these scoundrels ever did anything about it. Yeah. Bush is the worst because they're basically traffickers, probably.
Yeah, Bush Sr., you got the Franklin cover up.
Right.
For Bush Sr.
That's where I get that. He was good friends with Barney Frank, providing all the child prostitutes to the Washington. Boys Town, right.
If you can find it, it was created. 60 Minutes did a documentary interviewing these kids that were then grown later that were sexually abused out of Boys Town by these high-level people in D.C. They made the documentary, and before it was about to be released on primetime television, it got the network got a call, and it got pulled. It was never officially released. I have seen the documentary. It's out there. You can still find it, but you got to go search for it a bit. But this is right there. This is when you still had some journalists trying to do their job. But so many times, because the owners of these studios, somebody makes that call internally, and this information gets quashed. But well, it's out there.
News is all fiction. You know, there is no news.
You know, we all saw it so clearly when Newt Gingrich, just his last few days, was shut down by Fox News for bringing up the truth about Soros funding the riots and putting in the corrupt district attorneys in various states, bought and paid for, so that when the people are arrested, they put them right back out on the street to riot and kill some more.
Well, the thing is,
there's a point.
They don't get in trouble because
there's a point.
They're on the same team.
What's the point?
Yeah, there's a point with that, Trish, which is that as long as they can keep us divided against each other, they keep that story in the press.
Right.
As soon as you start to realize who you should be looking at, that's when they shut you down.
Yep.
That's when you realize that that's the person you can't criticize. That's the person's name you can't bring up. That's the money trail you can't find. then now that's what you should be asking about.
Yeah.
Okay, people should be asking about it. Wait a second, who is this George Soros? Wait, where's this money coming from? Who's paying for these things?
Soros.
People should be asking those questions.
Arrest Soros.
There's going to be more light shed on
arrest
this now
Soros
because
that was
way too blatant. I mean, they
arrest Soros for the riots and put him in jail for about 200 years. Okay, well, guess what? Not even one person in law enforcement anywhere on the earth can touch Soros.
That has to change.
And that is really something, isn't it? When you finally realize
I think
he is above all nations and all laws.
I like the
everywhere.
Way A.G. Barr is now starting to talk a little bit about sedition.
Well, he also talked about people that paid for the riots. And it's like, all you got to do is arrest him and get the medical tyranny people.
He himself has said Soros paid for them.
And undo the lockdown and get us back on track, please.
Yes.
Barr, can you do
lift,
it? No.
Lift the whole
Trump, can
lockdown.
You do it? No. Congress, can you do it? No. Senate, can you do it? No. Well, who can do
Jesus.
It?
Jesus.
Why can't they do it, Trish?
I think that they can.
They're all corrupt.
Well, it's kind of like...
They're all compromised.
Remember when Trump got elected and somebody was asking him, why do they hate Trump so much? And
Orange Man bad.
Newt Gingrich goes, well, he's not in their club. He's not in their club. He's not been initiated.
He's not a pedophile. And they all are. And that's basically it. People that attack him tend to be the pedophiles. If you take... Patton Oswalt, an actor, okay? And he's been seen in a movie with Sarah Silverman where he sees a 12-year-old boy on the street and he goes, how do I get a piece of that?
Ooh.
And it's in the movie. It's online. You can go watch it if you like. And then there's a kid in the back seat of the van and, you know, saying, I got to go to the bathroom. Like a 5-year-old, I got to go to the bathroom. And then Sarah Silverman turns around and goes, you can just go in my mouth. Okay? It's on video for all to see. No, you don't want to see it, do you? You don't want to acknowledge that exists, do you? Your little brain can't go there, can it? Because then it'd have to be going, oh my God, if that's true, then, oh gee, you mean this whole world is Satan and hell? Yeah, so you need some help, right? I do. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to comfort me right now. I hate thinking about this stuff. But she says, you can go in my mouth. He goes, how do I get a piece of that? The two of them did this little movie together. And Patton Oswalt is, the reason I bring him up is because he and Sarah Silverman are the biggest slanderers of Trump. And they're pedophiles. You see, it's perfect. And that, if he just went in there, well, no matter what he did, he would be vilified because they blame all their problems on him. But if he was gone... And you had not there Biden there, and a Harris administration. You had this mean woman dictating to trying to turn the place into a communist hellhole, a total shithole called America, and that happened. And they didn't have that scapegoat of Trump anymore. They probably try to blame him for a while he's out of office, or maybe make a case to go prosecute him as the most evil one. But what they're really doing is they're bait and switching. They're using Trump. Instead of Soros, instead of the people I mentioned, instead of some of these, obvious people out there that are obviously, they're in the press promoting their point of view. And now you could, I guess, add all the people that are wanting to push for normalization of pedophilia. But what they really want is there should be a new term beyond pedophilia, which is having sex with babies against their consent, obviously.
That was really something
baby rapers.
What's her name? Blake Lively?
Blake Lively. And
she recently said at a women's luncheon thing, a big variety thing.
What a great woman.
She brought attention because she had been speaking with law enforcement about this craze that is going on
in Hollywood
where they love to have sex with just born. They want to have sex with a baby that still has the umbilical cord attached.
Right. They want to rape the baby.
And then kill it.
Then they kill it and they
after
eat it.
They rape it, they kill it.
And then they
and
eat
she
it.
Brought attention in broad daylight to all these shocked people. she goes, I don't want to talk about this, but I have to. She had been speaking with law enforcement, and her eyes were open. She has a small child herself, and she just was so horrified. But the awareness is getting exposed. Lord, we ask you to protect. This is one thing I forgot to pray for earlier about the election. I want, Lord, please, to have a fair election, a fair enough election, that the Democrats cannot steal it. Lord, we would go back into a dark, dark period if they were able to pull off the steal, Lord. So we ask you protect the election, protect Trump, protect reality, protect all of us as we go forward here, because it's so in our face, Lord. We really want to bring an end to this child trafficking and murdering.
A lot of people just don't believe that the president can actually do those things.
Well, he's getting more strength.
And not only that, but they think that Trump is championing the vaccines, and that's evil. And 5G, and whatever else he's done. In other words, we can't go to, he can do what he can do, but we have to go to the Lord for salvation. Sorry.
Of course. But I think he's... He just tried to take the vaccine ball away from Gates.
No, I understand what's happening. It's just, you see... We need the Lord.
Yes.
That's all I can say. Man, no. Lord, yes. And if Lord strengthens certain people...
But the Lord is coming. And the Lord is coming. But the Lord is coming.
Yes.
And that's the whole point. The Lord is coming. The Lord's hand is coming. And you can see, you can sense it. Because when we first started this thing, we saw that. And we've heard that. We heard that through the wave. It's like... The Lord's hand is already here. It's coming. He's showing us the evil. And as people are seeing evil, they're like, no, we need the Lord. Same thing with what Trish talked about, what's going on with pedophilia and normalizing things. Like we see with Netflix, what's going on. Mm-hmm. People now are like, no, this is not right. This is literally Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, right? So people are like, no, this is not right. We're going to change this. And then more and more, all these celebrities are showing their cards because they have to. At this point, all these celebrities have to show their cards because they're calling them to do that. And then you can see for yourself, okay, this person and that person, right? And the true one, the true believer, the one that are free is speaking out against it. Right, but the Lord will come, because at the end, no matter what happened, guys, at the end, we win, and that's what people need to know. We win.
I fight against this here, but ultimately, it's about for me personally, it's about going into another dimension with the Lord and being there and living with Him. It's not because with Him, nothing like this goes on. That we don't have to concern ourselves with. People doing stupid, really dumb things that hurt people. All I'm asking the Lord today, really, is please stop the pain and suffering and killing that this few people are doing to the billions of us. Please stop them. Please, Lord, stop them from doing that. And if you want to use me...
And save America, change the world.
Well, if you want to use Trump, or if you want to use... There's no one in the Congress, there's no one in the Senate...
People.
But if you want to use people like that, that's fine. I mean, we'll take what we can get. And we know that whoever is of God will be hated. Because the people doing this, all they want is death. Death, 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 death. And
your commie has no regard for human life, not even his own.
They don't care if they die. As long as they can get you to die, then they're happy with it. It's insane. All right, everybody, we're going to go. We can't solve it all right now. We're going to go.
Thank you, Lord.
And stay right there, everybody.
Blessings,
blessings.
Blessings
to all of you out there. Thank you so much for being
here.
Take
care. Blessings.
And bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day.
Amen.
Bye.
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 Amen.
Bye.
Bye, Patricia, and Jeff, and Govinda, and my all brothers.